Yeah.
We're rolling.
Is this going?
It's going.
It's happening.
The studio's bigger.
This is happening.
It's nice.
Hey, good news, guys. I found a penny right before this here episode.
Sweet.
Picked it up. Put it in the pocket.
Good luck happen.
I feel like it's going to be a good show.
Shit. Yeah, you are that weird guy that likes the pennies, huh?
Oh, I remember what I wanted
I pick
to
up pennies.
What?
I do.
I literally we just both I throw pennies away.
I pick them up yeah, only because I was told it was good luck.
For good luck, yeah.
Yeah, even though...
Has it been working?
Well, there's something inherently bad about throwing money away.
Is there?
Well, like, so, you ever have... You go cleaning out an old box and you find a bunch of change in the bottom? Mm-hmm. I just leave it.
Yeah, but you don't throw it away.
No, I
save
don't throw
the
it away,
silver
but I
ones.
Let it sit
I care
there.
About the economy, so I don't put it in the trash because I think it might tank the economy.
It feels like it's putting a curse on you by throwing it away. Discarding it or not respecting it.
Like the money gods are like, well, apparently he doesn't need it.
Yeah. We'll are there money sure gods? There's got to be money
gods,
right? No,
yeah. It means I need less of these pennies, more of the green stuff.
I got to say, though, I put much more value on quarters and dimes
That's
than
weird.
I do on nickels
pennies?
And pennies.
That's really weird that you would put more value on the more valuable stuff than the less valuable stuff.
I'd rather have one
You're
quarter.
You're a weird dude.
I'd rather have one quarter than five nickels. Let me put it to you
Absolutely
that way.
True. When I'm getting my change back, I'm annoyed when they're like, giving me all dimes.
Absolutely.
I'm like, wait, you can't spring for quarters over there?
If there's anyone that would rather have five nickels, they need to be ended.
Well, I used to be really annoyed with people when debit cards first came out because everybody had a debit card and they're handing it to the drive-thru and stuff. And now I get it because you don't get change back. When I pay cash at drive-thrus, as I often do,
right.
I'm so annoyed when I get a bunch of fucking pennies and nickels. I'm like, ugh!
I remember what I was going to ask. And this is probably off-air material, but what the fuck? We're the after disaster. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. By the way, welcome to the program. I am Anderson. There is Mike Carano to my left. There's Ty to my right doing it from... We are actually on location from the Cult of Carano set.
Destination disaster number two.
Yeah. No, that's not
this
true.
One's $8.
No, what is it? Which leads me right to the next thing. Thank you to everyone who downloaded and helped support our efforts. And have there been positive? Have we even heard any reviews?
I haven't seen any.
Today's Thursday, right? Or no, today's Friday.
Well, here's the deal.
We can upload this early.
We're recording this early because I'm going to, as this post, hold on. Jesus Christ. Studio does not have a console. While this posts, I'm at camp, so this mm-hmm. is like we're smashing an extra episode in before I leave.
I'm very appreciative to people who purchased that.
Yes, thank you guys very much for helping our efforts, and we love doing the show, and we try and come up with unique, fun little perhaps gimmicky things at times, but we want to share some of these things with you. And
yeah.
I went back and listened to most of the bonus episode that is also a part of the package.
I enjoyed the bonus.
Offering.
I listened
and
to
the bonus was unlistenable at times, and I was thinking people are either going to absolutely love this or they're going to absolutely
it's a bonus.
Hate it.
It's
yeah,
bonus.
It is a bonus. Why we call it a bonus? We should just call the entire thing for sale a bonus.
We should put up
everything
minute really tight, really good sounding podcast and say the next 2 hours is a bonus.
You want to buy the shirt for? I got Cold Cockle Production shirts that are available on my site, AndersonCowan.com. They're bonus T-shirts. If you buy one, you get one. So it's a bonus.
You're just donating $25 or $30 and you get a T-shirt as a bonus. Tyler,
everything you sell, we should just call a bonus.
Tyler, I saw a post that a listener said they gave $100.
Yes.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to say that person's name.
I know.
That was,
does that mean we have to take out our phones and find him?
No.
I don't
know. I have the tweet here.
That works. What is
holy.
So,
at Jeff RWI.
We need to
he
thank
bought
him.
It for $100.
Why does everyone name their kids at like 5 years ago?
Thanks for hundreds
everyone named
of hours of entertainment.
Kids at. And it's kind of confusing.
That's a good joke.
It confused me. In the beginning of Twitter, I didn't get it. I was like, I don't know. Why do I
still
have to have that thing on?
It still just confuses me because I have dyslexia as it is. And when I'm reading, is that a thing? It's dyslexia. I'm very tired, guys. It's dyslexic, right? That's not where you're skinny. God, I'm tired.
You're asking two guys. If you're looking at me asking what dyslexia
and dyslexic,
is, you're asking the wrong guy. Aim it at Tyler.
I realize.
Because I probably have it.
You have it. I think you have it because you read terribly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
It's because dyslexic.
I change
things
words.
Get jumbled.
Even if I'm reading out loud, I change the words as I'm looking at them to what I think they should be.
Hey, I get an email from a girl from another place
Sweet.
That I work. Her last name is Pack.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say. And I've been getting emails from her for about 2.5-3 months now.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody else about her because I never met her. And they're like, yeah, I met, what's her name, Pack. And I'm like, no, it's Park. I look at the emails. Like almost every day I get an email from... But her name is Pack, not Park.
Doesn't make
but
sense.
I see
Park makes much more sense.
The brain.
Parks with an S makes even more sense than that.
National Parks.
National Parks is a good name for
the
a
best.
Kid.
No, it's not.
At National Parks.
The promo For the episode, the Destination Disaster. No, Tyler put it up, right? It's the first like 30 seconds.
No, we have one in the car we recorded.
But we have one in the car. That's what I was asking. If maybe like
I forgot about it. I got to find
a week from now we can like put that one up. Because I think that one shows how beat up we are at the end, I think.
I'd like to hear what people think of the video, actually, because we agree it's not a masterpiece.
Well, I don't think it would.
I was really annoyed. I was watching
it. It's too loud.
What?
You are.
You just said I was too quiet like a couple minutes ago.
I don't know. Well, you're watching it?
I'll balance it.
I watched the first, like, I was watching the first 5 minutes, and the first time I was like, Mike, and insert it here, and then nothing happened, and I was like, motherfucker. But then the next time I did it, you inserted something.
I don't remember what the first one was.
It was when you're like, I don't want to walk up that, and you're like, wait, let me take a photo of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did that, but the picture was boring.
I've not seen the video, so I don't think it would get some.
To be honest with you, I haven't seen the video either.
At Sundance, you edited it.
I know, but I didn't watch. I didn't sit and watch the whole thing.
Like if we submitted it to Sundance, I doubt it would get in as like a feature. And it probably, if it did get in, I don't think it would win. It might.
If it got in, I would be weirded out by having to explain.
For those of you who think I'm not joking, you're wrong. This is not festival worthy.
The skateboarder part is great with a little inset of him trying to skateboard.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Good
we got. I think that we should move over though. Move on. We shouldn't be talking about our own goddamn show, especially the for sale part of the show.
Well, I'm surprised we did it because there's other breaking news here, and I'm very uncomfortable with this.
Yeah, I guess I don't. All right.
That was weird that you segued into his story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That was kind of.
I mean, wait,
it's not his story. It's just a story. No, it's your story, but it's. Okay, driving over here.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I was kind of very uncomfortable thinking about this. Yeah. Uncomfortable on all levels. Uncomfortable for your pain. Mm. Uncomfortable for the sadness of this. And like I told Tyler, I was thinking of canceling my day. I'm like, I can't go to work after this.
Sounds very Mike Carano, doesn't it?
And then I felt like a piece of narcissistic garbage because I thought, I wonder if this will translate into any sales.
Oh my god!
I was kidding. That was a joke.
No.
That was a joke.
I don't think you were. It's fine though. It's fine.
It's not fine.
No. I don't want to even retell that story. But when that FedEx bus or truck rammed into those kids, on the bus, and like within 10-20 seconds of me hearing that, I'm like, FedEx. Wonder if I had a package on that. And I felt like such a piece of shit. And I am angry at myself for thinking that.
I went to the crime scene.
But your brain does that. You can't help it.
I went to the crime scene where
maybe
that guy
if you're a good person.
Got gunned down by the cops on Ventura yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Mike had a SWAT team in his neighborhood 2 weeks ago. And then yesterday.
Yesterday was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I got on Laurel Canyon. And, you know,
hey, we'll come back to what Mike was talking about in a second.
You know when people say it's gridlock?
And they shut down the 101.
It shut down everything in my neighborhood.
At a strip mall a couple blocks away from where Mike lives,
yeah.
Where Keith lives, some guy just had a gun out and he was just wandering about. And then cops came and
here's,
euthanized him.
This is not important, but I'm leading up to your thing.
It's euthanized.
Yeah. Here's what happened is I'm sitting on Laurel not going anywhere. And I knew I'm not going anywhere because I could tell people were getting word on what was happening. They were swinging news and going back.
Oh, I thought you meant with your
Hollywood.
Life. And you were just
no,
wandering.
I'm not going anywhere with my life either. Uh-huh. My life is in gridlock.
That
makes it sound like I'm blaming other people for my problems. But you know who's brutal? Tough love is Dr. Drew because he asked me what was going on like months ago when I was going through this severe
depression.
Depends
on his mood.
And I said, I'm just really miserable here. Talking about work things. And I go, I'm just really miserable and I really feel this way and this way. And he goes, well, whose problem is that? Yeah. Who created that situation?
Did he do that thing that he calls wonderment where, huh, I wonder why that is?
No.
I hate when he does that.
He went.
He's never done that to me. He never would.
Who's responsible for that? And I went, yeah, I know. I know who's responsible.
Did you say you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're Dr. Drew. You're responsible.
Okay, gridlock coming over the hill. This is hard to talk about because I know we have something much bigger to talk about. But I'm afraid I'm going to have a breakdown when we have to talk about the other stuff.
No, you'll be fine. I think I'll be fine, so you should be fine.
Here's the hypocrisy in me.
What's funny is if – I know we're shrouded in mystery, and some of you savvy listeners might have an idea of where we're going to end up going. But if the subject matter that we're going to get to in a moment is conscious somehow, is that consciousness is very upset that we're not talking about.
Yeah.
Because that consciousness is narcissistic.
Well, it's clearly the biggest part of the day
anyways, that was,
of your
sorry,
life.
That was a riddle. Go ahead.
It was,
but I like the anger.
Okay, a friend of mine, Paul Gilmartin, posted on Facebook because
I wasn't
listening to the news. I'm just looking at Facebook because I'm not going anywhere. I'm frozen, and I could see we're not going anywhere, and we're not going to go anywhere
because a man has a gun.
Yeah, after 45 minutes, I swung a U and went back up and cut over Mulholland. But he's posting, I just saw a suicide by cop.
Oh.
And I didn't know that was tied in.
And, so but what you're saying is your friend was there and you could have
he got the story right.
Hello.
Talk radio had it wrong for an hour and a half. A bank robbery in progress. Then it was someone found a body in a bush. And then it was and it went back and forth. So either way, last night I'm coming back.
Wait, the weirdest part of that whole story is that the cop shot the guy. And then there was a couple suspicious packages
yes.
right by his body. Yeah. So they had to leave his dead, lifeless, uncovered body there yeah. for like 2 hours.
Yeah,
at least. While they like tried to figure out what to do with the packages.
Well, I got home last night about 10:30. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go there and record a podcast. And I'm going to lay down where that body was and record it sitting.
God. Did you?
I couldn't.
That's my job.
They were still there.
Yeah, they were still there.
But I stood there making fun and brutally
That's
ridiculing
rude.
All the news crews for yeah. like, oh, breaking news 8 hours ago, yeah. but we're still on the scene. And I was pissed. I was genuinely, like, my heart was racing. My adrenaline was going. I was pissed off that there was 12 or 15 trucks there, all these fucking posers wearing their stupid-looking suits.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a hypocrite I am, because I only came here to record a podcast.
That's true.
But I wanted to sit where
you're
the guy.
You're going to do it differently, yeah. Where that would be a good.
Can you imagine they're like, oh, we're going to cut to Jim now on the scene.
And he's just laying in the chalk.
This is the spot.
That'd be good. That would be interesting. That would be interesting, like ABC News, I think.
You know what the saddest part about
the
whole story
family
is?
Might kind of not like it.
The worst part about the story is the guy. So one of
the worst part is the packages turned out to be cupcakes that he had baked the night before for the police department.
Oh my God, that's so yeah. heartbreaking.
Yeah. And spelled out, "Thank you for killing me."
They were referring to him as the Chipotle shooter. Well, I was like, that is not.
How old is the guy?
I don't know, but that is not a good nickname to go out to go to the afterlife
no.
with. Because I could see like. I mean, there's other. What other killers are there that have cool names?
That's a free plug too for Chipotle.
Yeah, the Chipotle shooter.
Yeah. Well, Dennis Leary he had that great bit. I think it was the early '90s. His whole routine back then was great. It was about smoking and how he's
yeah.
never going to quit. And
yeah.
Smoking takes 10 years of your life. It's the worst fucking years. It's great. And he talks about, like, you know, you live your entire life, and then you're walking down the street in New York, and, like, a poodle could get knocked out of the window and kill you, and then you're known as Poodle Guy or Poodle
yeah.
Man. For,
yes.
And you have no exactly. say in it, and it sucks.
Exactly. Like, I think I have big plans for my legacy, and I go down as the Chipotle shooter who just shot in the air. I didn't even shoot at anybody.
Where'd that bullet
question
come down,
is if he sprung for the guac.
And I'm sure.
Tyler.
What?
Yeah.
No, you probably would if you're going to get killed, right?
You got to spring like, for the guac, the guac if you're at Chipotle. And might I recommend the carnitas, too, if you're there.
So we're recording this Saturday, midday, in my backyard. My day yesterday began with I woke up. I saw a couple messages from mom. I'm like, I'll get to those in a second. Got text messages, and then I sit down on the stoop out in the backyard, rubbing my eyes, trying to wake up.
Get
and
the crusties out?
I get the message from my mom at 9 a.m., and she's crying. I'm like, as soon as I hear her first words, I'm like, uh-oh, it happened. This is happening. And my dad died yesterday, so... I mean, my dad, and if you've been listening to the show for a while, I've been telling stories about my dad, and they've been entertaining, I think, at times, but, you yeah. know, they don't always put them in the finest light, and I'm not having any regrets about that, actually, because, you know, my dad's my dad, and I tell the stories the way that they happen, and a lot of time they happen in public, so.
But since I've known you, and you've been talking about your dad, I'm, you know, clearly he made a few mistakes. I'm kidding.
Okay. No, but, absolutely.
But I've always... had an overwhelming feeling that you have this deep, deep love for your dad, and,
yeah.
you're proud of him, and you were proud.
I don't know, proud.
No, I it came across that you were very.
I'm proud
like,
to have survived your childhood with my dad.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, but you didn't talk about him with resentment or anger. You talked about him with love.
I try not to, and I tell story, but I am who I am. Like we all are who we are. We're products of our family and our surroundings, and honestly. If I had to go back and do it with like a normal dad, I don't know who I'd be, and I don't think I'd really. I don't know. I'm not that I love myself or anything.
You'd
but
probably
I,
be
I,
no Mr. No Personality Tyler.
I could be working in a cube. Oh, cube. Well, there's nothing wrong with working in a cubicle. I don't know. I think that I took the. I think.
Yeah,
I think
is.
I take the hard track in life, and I think a lot of that is because of the way I was raised and my dad, and I saw things too early, and I think if I am unique in any ways, it's a large part thanks to my dad's. Unusual upbringings, unorthodox ways.
I wish I had your positive outlook on
that. And I also have friends and even family members at times who they blame all of their problems on other
yeah.
people, and that's the most helpless feeling in the world. I hate a guy with a broken back from being a dumb fuck, drunk and high on drugs, falling
yeah.
off a roof almost 5 stories high. And I broke my back, and I should have died, and I have pain every day. But I never feel sorry for myself because I did it to myself. If I got... attacked by some thug on the street with a bat and he broke my back, I think every single day I'd be like, my life could be so much better if I didn't have back pain because that fucker. But I did it to myself, so. But that doesn't really tie in because I didn't do my dad to myself.
Doesn't tie in, but it's a good. You know what? It's uplifting what you just said. Because
and if,
I
if anyone's
that.
Listening for the first time or they don't know this, some of the stories, it has nothing to do with like sexual abuse or anything. I almost make it sound like, he raped me
because you were a willing participant.
It was
in
just
that
physical and emotional abuse. Lots
kind
of it,
kind of sexual.
But
by
love my dad.
His porn.
Love my dad. Found his porn at like 10, 11 years old. But,
are you gonna bury him with that?
You know, we're burning him with. Oh, we should burn him with the stuff.
You might as well get rid of a bunch of shit while you're.
I don't know, so the genesis of this is as many of you know, like 4 months ago, you know, my mom just couldn't care for him anymore in the house, and he was falling, and so we did the worst possible thing in his eyes, which was put him in a home, and then the first home.
He also visited a neighbor in the neighborhood.
That's right. Cops were called to the house because my dad, and so they had to reverse the locks for a few months, and it was clear to everyone involved that my mom could no longer care for him, and the kids are all grown and. For the most part, gone. So, long story short, we put him in a home. First home kicked him out after like 18 hours, I think, for him threatening to kill everyone. Then they put him in another home and they, you know, medded him up. And, you know, I go visit him at least a couple times a week. I try minimum. And every single time I'd leave, like, I'd be like, this could be the very last time. Remember what you're seeing, because this could, every single time I'd leave, I think this very well could be the last time I'm ever going to see him. Also, we are all very fearful, and I've talked about it on the show, that we're going to be dealing with paying all this money to warehouse him. He's not happy. He would be pissed at all of us for allowing him to be in such a situation. And it costs a fortune. It was digging into my mom's retirement, and she's already broke. So worst case scenario is this goes on for 2 years. And my dad's already gone.
And as history has proven with a lot of people, they end up keeping people on life support for years and years and losing their houses and losing
everything.
We were
worried about a stroke or a coma, and it just, you know, and so... Long story short, when I heard about yesterday, you know, you always wonder, like, you guys haven't lost a parent yet, but those of you who have, especially if
emotionally,
you're older, you wonder how you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, because you can think about it, sort of like, you know, you can I can muse about what it'll be like, but you don't really know what it's going to be like.
No, I can't. I can't fathom it. I'm really. I don't know. It seems crushing. And I think...
Well, my main concern was I was going to have regrets. I was going to have a lot of regrets and feel terrible and beat myself up. Like, I could have done this. I should have done that. And honestly, I do. I have a couple, but not a lot. My main regret, as ridiculous as this sounds, is my dad lived about 10-minute drive away from me in his home where he died yesterday. And I meant to bring my little dog Stanley over to visit him on a number of occasions, and never once did I. And that would have brought my dad, who was mentally checked out for the most part, comatose at times when I go see him from the meds and just from, you know, massive dementia. But I know that if I brought Stanley to see him, it would have brightened his day, and it would have given. And when he'd see me, he'd always get really emotional and happy and recognize me right till the very end. He didn't know I was his son, but he remembered my name a lot of the time. And I did go over, and I'd see him, like I said, like minimum two times a week. There were short visits, 5-10 minutes, because like he'd lose interest and check out after I got there. But I was really beating myself up all day yesterday for something as absurd as I didn't bring Stanley to see him. So you never know what it's going to be.
It's so tough, and I don't think I'm ever going to change. And I think about that all the time. I think about the times I leave people in my family when we're having a big fight, and I just don't call and apologize, and I don't want to make amends, and I don't want to do anything about it, and they're probably going to die eventually with me having those regrets too.
I was fairly fortunate in many ways. I mean, we're very fortunate that he went into sleep, even though Dr. Drew claims that no one goes peacefully in their sleep.
Yeah,
I
refuse.
Like, Drew, if you know that, why tell people
Drew's
that?
The worst sometimes.
Why shatter that, like, the notion that we all get, like, that there's a chance you can go peacefully in your sleep? Why is it, actually, it's horrific, and you're...
The power of, like, mind over matter, like, placebo effect, has been the main thing that we've used in medicine for, like, the last 500 years. Like, people believe that the root that they're sucking on is going to make them better, and it works sometimes.
I gotta read a second.
And Drew loves to, like, point out the fact that that's bullshit, and it does work, but it shouldn't, because people shouldn't believe it. If it works, let it work.
I know. What I've learned from
you
him
can't
is
pay money for placebos.
Everyone dies a screaming, painful death.
Yeah.
All my problems are my fault. Most addicts are just gonna get right back on the juice and die.
Why you tell me that? What?
Come on. Oh yeah, I said. I go. My ex girlfriend sent me some stats that said only 2% of people who get sober stay sober, and he goes, "That's about right." And I went, what?
God damn it.
2%? And he's like, that's about right.
Wow.
And I go, what happens to everyone else? He goes, they die. I'm like, eh, all right.
Yeah, but what's that stat? Do they die later? They might be sober, but they have like fucked up liver, so they die prematurely.
I think it's like 100% of people die.
Yeah, you know, I think 100%.
I think if you want to get some stats in life, you got to interview 80-year-olds.
Yeah? Why?
Because they're still alive.
Oh, like they've seen enough? Fuck science? Just ask old people?
Yeah, yeah. How many of your friends are sober, still alive?
They're all dead.
And this is why none of us are in charge of science.
Thank God. Because the science building is a very confusing place with many like hallways that I don't understand. The science building.
Guess what? Good news. You guys got a letter from the government. We're in charge of science. This is fucked.
Can you imagine how
you
got to
cancel camp? We need to read some books. I don't know who else to call but Dr. Drew, the negative guy.
And I read slow.
Well, Anderson can give shark talks.
Oh, yeah. So years ago, this is totally non-segue. But well, I guess kind of. Like last night I was up. Yesterday was a tough day for me. I did a lot of crying, which is.
Why?
Which, and I this morning I had a couple episodes, and I'm feeling pretty strong right now, and it's good to see you guys here. And it's weird to cry about something that is actually good for everyone. It's just, it's heartbreaking to know that I'm never going to see him again.
Yeah,
it's
that's the tough part.
And I keep going back to that last time that because I was walking away, and we were actually making eye contact as I was walking on the other side of the room, about to like go down a hall, and you know where you can do that thing where you're like staring at someone until you walk, and then a wall's in front of you, so you like loot.
Yeah.
And we held eye contact, which we rarely did. A lot of time I wouldn't even say goodbye. I would just slip out because I didn't want to like make him sad that I was leaving. And then he would forget that I was even there. But I actually kept eye contact, and I remember thinking, like I did every time, that could be the very last time you're ever going to see him. And I'm fortunate in the sense that that was a reality. With you guys, you got young parents for the most part, and you know, you never know. So what you're talking about, how you don't like to stay in a fight because you never know what's going to happen. Chances are, though, your dad's going to be there tomorrow. Every time I saw mine, I knew that there was a good chance that he wasn't going to be. So I kind of got to say goodbye over and over again.
There was also sort of a progression of like his mental faculties declining. So like you've known.
Oh, yeah.
For,
yeah.
Like,
it's been a gradual goodbye.
Like a,
I think for
which
me
was
a
difficult,
little,
but I think I choose that.
I don't know. Well, absolutely. You don't want to go. You don't want to come home from your Hawaiian vacation and find out your parents died in a car accident.
Yeah, well, of course not. Yeah. And I've dealt with death and I've dealt with loss a number of times, just from relationships that I have with kids at camp and stuff. You know, I've lost a lot of my kids at camp, but some very, very good friends of mine have died as well from.
I don't think you should be a counselor if you keep losing kids.
I know. But one of the hardest things when you lose somebody who you're close to is you think about them for a number of weeks, sometimes months. I'd still have my friend BJ died 5 years ago. Still, this will happen where I'll be like, oh, I wonder what BJ is going to think about this movie. I should call. Oh, wait, I can't. Yeah. And I don't have that with my dad so much because I haven't really been able to call him for
the last 4 years. Well,
you
also haven't really 100% processed it yet.
Probably not.
Because I still sometimes wake up with a gut feeling. It's not a conscious thought necessarily. I got to call Richard Jenny. I haven't talked to him in like a year, and I owe him a call, and I got to give him. And I realized, he died like 10 years ago. I can't call him.
Yeah, I do that with I was doing that with my dad a little bit here and there before he was dead. Like, oh, I can't wait to talk to him about how the Penguins got Phil Kessel. Oh, wait, he doesn't know what the Penguins are. So, you know, I've been kind of gradually getting up to that. But the point that we were making earlier is so last night, Jillian went to bed around midnight. I had some wine. And I went through, like, I have this just unorganized giant drawer filled with pictures. Mm-hmm. 90% of those pictures are from camp. So I was organizing them all. It took me an hour and a half in the pool. Didn't draw my phone in this time. That was good. But I was looking for pictures of my dad because we're having, like, a little bit, probably the closest thing we're going to have of a memorial tonight at a restaurant, his favorite restaurant, and the whole family's getting together. And I wanted to bring some pictures. Good news is that I don't know if you remember, years ago on this program, I told a horribly uncomfortable story about how I had to give I was a guest lecturer at my little sister's like third grade class, elementary school, and I had to go in, spend an hour talking to the kids about sharks. And I had been up for 2, maybe 3 days doing stimulants, and I had no business being on school property or talking to children.
As evidenced in the photo.
But I found the picture.
Fantastic.
Found the picture when I was going through all my pictures. Maybe we should post
that. No, we have to post that picture. It's because when you give it the lead-up story... And then you see the picture. It's like, that's a perfect.
But there's a worse one, too, that I did not find. I didn't know where, like, I got my hand on the back of my neck, and I know that I'm just dying. I remember that day so clearly. It was so uncomfortable. I was so self-conscious. I was sweating. I thought all the kids knew that I was on drugs. I knew the teacher knew I was on drugs.
I wish people had iPhones and back then, because I'd like to see some video of that.
Extra little nugget is it was my 8th birthday.
Yeah, it was March 21st, 1994.
Wow, you remember the dates and everything?
Well, it was on the board. You can see my little shark fucking poster that I brought in with all the different kinds of sharks on the board, and then the date.
Did you have your shark tattoo at that point?
Yeah.
Did you show it?
No, maybe, possibly. Were you like, I can see that.
Unfortunately, this thing doesn't have any great whites on it, but I do.
It had a great white shark at the very top.
Tyler. What's your favorite shark?
Goblin shark and the black tip.
Is that?
Oceanic. Just had it on deck.
I love the oceanic shark.
Well, I know there has to be one that's your favorite. Oceanic, like, dog people sweet. Have a favorite dog.
Yeah. White tip oceanic was my favorite, and the goblin shark are my two favorites.
Do you plan on having a shark someday?
I had a shark. I've had a couple sharks because I maintained a large tank when I was growing up, and I worked at fish stores and stuff. They don't last very long.
Because
pre-Jacques Cousteau, before I worked for Jacques
They don't
Cousteau.
Last very long because they're in captivity or because...
Yeah, because they're... But I don't know. Fish tanks have come a long way since I was in the fish tank world. Not because they're like butterflies, because they grow big and they live in the ocean for a long time.
I think this may have come up on the show, but I had an idea to put like a tank, like a mask on a fish filled with water. It keeps them alive.
Oh, outside the water.
So you could bring them to the beach. You could bring them to the beach on the sand.
You'd have to keep lubing them up, though, too, because they have a mucus.
Is this when you're
lining.
Eating a lot of those weed Jolly Ranchers?
Yeah.
That would be really cool pet, though. Like, this is my grouper.
Like a space helmet over his
right,
head.
Right, yeah.
When it covers the gills and it's just full of water, and then you just walk down the boardwalk.
How long do you
with
think
it?
He flops around freaking out before he realizes,
before he calms
wait,
down?
This doesn't
when they
make
dry
me
out.
Propel me?
Well, if they're like chihuahuas, it takes him like a day or two to get used to it, and then he's comfortable.
Back to us being in charge of science. We got this. We're fine.
That you could do it. Theoretically, you could do that. You would just have to keep lubing them up with, like, because they have a mucous membrane, like I said. You'd have to make sure those gills were. But I think that they'd run out of oxygen in that water. You'd have to have a bubbler going in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a problem.
We'll get I don't know who we're going to hire to be our assistants when
sure
we're in
we
charge
have at
of science.
One listener that's mildly competent in
science.
I was going to say biographies. Biology.
Right. Okay, I guess the real thing to bring up right now that's kind of uncomfortable is
that my feet are facing up on the table.
Do you have any? Did I talk about that?
No.
When we were kids, we would torture my sister and my youngest brother. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you buy into the hype. Like, I would go like this.
The foot hype.
I go, "Is that bothering you?" And they go, "No." And I go, my foot odor is coming right at you.
Oh, what?
And you just face your foot at somebody, and then after like two or three times doing it, they'd start crying like, "Mom, he's facing his feet at me." And you built a problem that didn't really exist.
No wonder your mom moved you into a cult. She didn't want to deal with that shit.
So how are we going to deal with the pretty good possibility that the angel of death killed your dad?
That's a pretty good possibility, huh?
Doesn't it cross your mind?
No.
Isn't that guy in jail?
Okay.
There's another one.
I have a picture of my dad on my phone. The last time I saw him, I saw him Tuesday the 21st. He died on Friday morning at 6 a.m. And I have a picture because he looked terrible. I mean, he looked, and I guess he was on an all-puree diet.
Worse than you giving
diet.
A lecture?
worse than that. Yeah, he was gaunt, and he just did not weird. And he was on a puree diet because he had a problem with his tooth that we were in the middle of dealing with. He was on antibiotics, and he looked terrible. I've not pulled that picture up. I don't even know if I want to see it. It's funny, too, because they gave us he's
getting
creamed.
You should back it up, though.
I should. I know that.
Why
if I
did you take the photo?
I'd always take pictures.
You're like, "Dad, you look terrible. I'm going
to
take a..."
No, we do selfies. Yep. This might be the last time I'm going to see my dad. And I also sent it to my mom, say, "Hey, Mom, look, he's getting real thin. We need to ramp up this dentist thing," because his dentist was actually scheduled, I think, to come in on Friday to assess. Anyways, long story short is never the case. Why do I say that? Why do I even say long story short? Everything's long on this show.
Everything's long.
Where are we going?
Short story long.
We're So, yeah, I know when I look at that picture, that's going to be, that's a trigger. You know, I know. I'll.
How is your mom doing?
She's good. I mean, it's like I was.
I mean, do you think there's any relief to her?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But it's still a life, huge life change. And it's just like when she put him in a home, this is a whole new part of her life now. She's living without a husband and her husband is living down the street.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a life change, and it's like a new chapter and an older chapter in your life. And now that he's gone, I mean, yep. she was a mess. We were both, I mean, I went out, I had a bunch of shit I had to take care of yesterday, too. So I was, like, backing things up and doing work on my computer.
Plus, you'd been up till 7.
I had to drive to Hollywood, and I'd been up till 7 the night before working on, it's a long
bullshit.
Oh, God,
I was texting you going, have you listened to the full episode yet? You're like, dealing with shit.
That was right before I heard.
Oh.
I remember, I responded to your text before I even knew. Anyways.
We should mention that we said that we'd come back with the edits that Mike had left on the bonus episode.
I have 20 minutes left. I've listened to almost all of it, and there was one thing that I said we have to cut. And we were talking about Dylan and his friend Mike, and we didn't cut it, which I don't care.
Didn't need to be cut.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Surprisingly, we were rolling on that bonus footage, and most of us forgot the mics were even on numerous times.
That's why it's
good
stuff.
And we didn't say anything that was horribly incriminating.
Shocking, almost.
Yeah.
But we said we'd come back with all the things, and to your credit, Mike, you were right. Thanks. Nothing that needed to be edited out.
Well, to my credit, I didn't really listen to it, so.
So one of the weird things is, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to tell people. Like, since we're not having a funeral, and, like, he's being cremated.
You can send a notification out or something.
My mom, like, and he set up, like, 10 years ago that they're both did the process and paid for everything at this time, and I have a little card.
Is it like a timeshare?
No.
Yes. Yeah. We move your body out when someone else.
It's like you pay a credit for your own cremation, and
that's got to be a
awkward
day. How much does a cremation cost?
I didn't like the conversation that I had to have with my mom, and then they're asking her all these questions too, like, where are you going to scatter the ashes? And she's being honest. She's like, we're going to think maybe some in the backyard and some on the golf course.
Mom,
and,
you're like, supposed to say, like, quiet. Over the Hawaiian, like, over
volcano.
The
volcano. We're talking
Maui.
About Hawaii, possibly, but I don't think it's going to happen. But, yeah, I know. We can make announcements, but that's weird, too. So, I didn't know.
In lieu of flowers, you can donate to the After Disaster podcast.
Or actually come see my live show.
That's it. You know what? Make up. You could spin this into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
No, I don't know. So, I didn't know how to tell you guys either because I knew that we were going to be doing a show today.
I didn't know how to get out of my car. I'm sorry to be so sensitive, but I was like, I can't go in there right now.
So, my mom found out. They left her a message. They called her at 6 a.m. And
how do they?
Because they do hourly checks on all the residents. And
what is that voicemail?
5 a.m., he was fine. 6 a.m., he was not fine, I guess, and then they declared him at 6:56 a.m., I think. And they called my mom twice, and I actually recorded the one message. And that's, at one point, I was thinking I was going to let you guys know by saying, hey.
Thanks.
But, yeah, that wouldn't have been fair to you guys. That would have been weird. And my mom said, please, I don't know why you're recording this right now, but please don't, like, let anyone hear it. Maybe later, but I will play the thing eventually.
Yeah.
My mom has asked me not to, so I won't because it is personal. But, it's weird because she sounds like a telemarketer letting my mom know that her husband died.
They
like
probably
she's
have
got that bubbly voice.
Probably have months and months.
So, anyways, call me back. You can ask for Betty. And sorry, once again, sorry for your loss. But anyways, we've been trying to get a hold of you for 45 minutes now.
Yeah,
it is fucking bizarre.
It would be worse if they said we need to speak to you. Please call.
That's what they said the first one.
Oh,
please call us recording Mr. Donald Cohen. Always mispronounces his name and calls him Mr., which he hated. And yesterday I was talking to Damien, my website guy, you know, and then I wasn't planning on telling him, but something came up and I'm like, my dad died this morning. And I was like, matter of fact about it. And I kind of dropped that on him. It's the whole thing is weird. Like, it's not like a wedding where you make an announcement unless you're having a funeral and we're not going.
I read the text that you sent me and Mike? How you let us know?
So I didn't want you guys coming over today knowing what you're coming into either. I thought I'd let you know in person and show you guys that I'm fine. I'm not freaking out. And then take it from there. But Jillian's like, you can't do that to them. You have to let them know before. But I know you guys. I'm like, I don't want them driving over here going, what the fuck am I driving to?
I appreciate and I like people that have a sense of humor about everything, no matter how heavy the topic is. And I do think that would have been kind, not funny necessarily,
but
interesting.
The message?
No. Interesting if you just brought it up at the end of the podcast.
End of this one?
Like when you were saying you didn't tell Jillian for a while.
So I found out when I first got up yesterday, which was, you know, in fairness to everyone else, at noon, because I was up till 7 a.m. the night before working on the goddamn first movie that I shot that I thought I was finally done with, but they need a new fucking format because it's playing in the Chinese theater again. And, oh, no, the format that we used last time, which looked splendid.
Yeah,
no, now you have
good.
To go
we
take
need
it to Hollywood.
We need 4K Cinescope.
And it's 2K. And you got to pay $106. And, oh, what a nightmare. So I was dealing with that all day yesterday and the night before. And then I'm calling Jillian and I'm like, I don't want to tell my wife when she's at work housing homeless people all day.
Yeah.
What if she can't leave? I don't want her because she knew my dad for since she was like 10 years old because she's my sister's friend. She's been around the house. You know, she had a really strong relationship with my dad. It's not just like her father-in-law, so it's like a second dad almost to her.
Is what a father-in-law is.
How do you tell? What's the protocol? So she got pissed that I didn't tell her.
I would too. I mean, it's when people keep information, like when people are sick, when people have cancer, and they decide I'm going to man up and not tell my family. I'm just going to.
I won't.
I'm on both sides of this one, but I get it. If you're the family, you need to know what's going down. You can't just keep going to family dinners and then all of a sudden one day you look like shit and you're like, oh, by the way, like a year ago I was diagnosed with cancer.
Well, if you're fighting it, I don't know. I think it's up to the individual.
Well, you kind of owe your loved ones.
If you can
ones.
Fight it on your own and you don't need their help, then I think it's your prerogative.
Well, that's what I do with zits, but other than that.
This led us to another story that you told that I'd never heard before that was very funny about me not telling Jillian.
Yeah.
And you and your ex-girlfriend in high school, was it? Please tell that story.
I was very jealous. Yes. Very jealous guy. I was my first girlfriend. Uh-huh. And I would sleep at her place that she shared with her mom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've done that a few times.
Yeah. But I was
there
like
every long-term
night.
Relationships where like I was like the brother almost, but I was having sex with a sister.
And I was waiting for her to come home one day, and I was at the peak of my jealousy and insecurity because I knew she was like flirting with some other guy that lived in the neighborhood and eventually found out that they were, you know.
Older guy?
Yeah.
Much older?
I don't know.
Was her name Melissa?
No.
Identical.
But
was the older guy's name Anderson?
He was a dude that was like in his 20s. Mathematically. He had a house. He didn't own it, but I mean, he lived in a house in the same neighborhood and he was constantly flirting with her.
Wife and kids?
No.
Oh,
but
different story, different.
Either way, I was jealous. I was a pain in the ass boyfriend. Super jealous.
We're in charge of math. We're in charge of science.
Sorry, Mike.
And I was waiting for her to come home one day, and she was an hour late, 2 hours late. And by the time the 2 hour point hit, I was so livid and so convinced she was. I'm just picturing her having sex with him in the
house. I've been there.
I'm envisioning everything. Everything.
Awful.
And she comes pulling up, and I'm standing out on the balcony, and she comes in, and I just unloaded, and I called her a whore, and I just went, you fucking cunt. I was so brutal and so unfair, and she went, my grandpa died, and I've been at the hospital, and there was no taking it back.
Mike's sitting there going, I know you've been banging that other guy, that's why you
and
here.
Your manager was
coming around the corner all bow-legged. It
was,
like a cowboy.
It was just, I had to just walk inside, get my keys, walk out and get in my car and leave, because there was no making up, and there was no.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, sorry, I thought you were.
You want to see
watch
a movie?
You.
Do you want to watch Weird Science again?
In a weird twist, her nickname for that guy was Grandpa, and there was like a swanky hotel called the hospital around the corner.
Yeah, oh, that would be the best.
In a weird twist.
And an even weirder twist. So death is something we all have to deal with, I guess.
Unless you die before.
Yeah, that's.
That you're not really dealing with it.
That seems selfish, but that one freaks me out more.
So it is the laziest thing you can do, and it's the last act we all do. It's like, all right, I'm going to go to sleep forever.
So the text that Anderson sent us when we were trying to figure out what time we're coming over today, me and Mike were just chatting in this group thread, and Anderson hadn't replied yet. And then we started talking about where we might do the next destination disaster. And
plans.
Then Anderson chimes in with a, oh, hey, just a heads up. My house is really smoky right now. We'll do the show on the side patio. Jillian declared her house is a smoking house this weekend only because my dad died yesterday, so it's for grieving purposes.
Yeah, I don't know how to tell you guys. How do you tell, like, especially in text form?
And then I had my keys in my hand. I was about, like, with Farley about to hop in the car, and I was like, so then I just went back inside.
Yeah,
and I was like,
no,
maybe
it was
that's
worse.
Why I'm so late, because I didn't know.
Should I have told you guys? Yeah, exactly.
Again.
See that, Jillian?
I was like, well, this is off, obviously.
Well, I was just waiting. I didn't get the text that you still wanted to pod until like 30 minutes later.
Should I have not told you till you got here? I know that telling you on the show would have been wrong. It wouldn't have been fair to anyone. And it would have been me like trivializing it and doing it for shock value for the show, which I had that thought for a second and then I immediately pushed it out. But, I'm also very proud of myself. Almost 24 hours since I found out. You know, I've had fits and I've you know, been inconsolable a couple times, feeling much better today. Maybe lack of sleep is part of it. But I have not used the term passed yet, which I really hope I never do because I hate it.
My dad passed yesterday.
Oh,
yeah, because
it
sounds. Yeah, it's like saying.
My dad died yesterday. He's dead.
Yeah.
Passed, I guess, is supposed to be like a pacifying way of saying the big D.
It's passed into the afterlife. Like he passed through the gates, the pearly gates of heaven.
I have caught myself looking up a couple times, thinking about him, which, and then I feel cheesy. Oh!
No, man, I think that's a natural thing for your body to do.
Fuck.
What if you looked up right now and there was one cloud that just resembled your dad to a point? Would you believe in God?
They all looked like he did at the end, though.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, he was kind of gaunt. And
look, that's his hairy chest.
Ew.
So one last thing, and then, you know, I don't know what else, Mike. Oh, we had an option of going to see his body one last time before mm-hmm. they cremate him, and that was the easiest decision I've ever made.
Okay.
It was just immediately like, no, I don't want to. It was bad enough seeing him alive in that state. There's no way I want to go see his lifeless body. And I learned that from going to my grandpa's funeral and seeing him one last time, and they did a shit. It was a tiny little town. They did a really shitty job at doing the makeup, so he looked like a fucking clown. He looked like he was in drag. It did not look
like my
grandpa.
Bowie. It's David Bowie. Nathan Lane in the Birdcage.
That's the last time I ever saw my grandpa. It was like David Glitter.
That's one place you don't want to have a sense of humor is you're the dude at the funeral home doing the makeup and
stuff.
Oh,
you know they do. And I think they've even fucked around on 6 feet Under.
Do you mean Gary Glitter?
Gary Glitter.
I'm sure they get
calls.
Johnny
Grieving.
My father passed yesterday. Please.
I'm sure they get calls at like 6 in the morning going, you got to come back into work and redo the makeup. Because they get kind of drunk at night and they're like, let's make this guy the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it happens now and then. Hey, if they're having sex with the corpses,
yeah,
you know,
if they're doing that, you know, they're doing the other.
Do you know when we were kids and we lived in San Diego, our first house that we lived in? I guess I was in the 5th grade or 6th grade. My sister and my brother went to a special performing arts school, so they would have to take the bus to school, mm-hmm. where I would just walk to my school for regular dumb people. And
that must have been really hard.
The bus stop, which is the truth. I went to regular public school, and for 2 years they got to go to this special school that, by the way, bordered the San Diego Zoo, and they often went into the zoo
on their way to
do classes. Oh. No, and it wasn't a zoological type of. It was a school for like performing
gifted.
Arts. No, it was for people that it was for stuff, you know, music and dance and stuff like that. But they would be waiting for the bus, and the funeral home owner would come out sometimes and go, do you want to come inside for a while if they got there early? And he'd let them lay in the caskets. And they were little kids, too.
What?
They were little kids, like 8 and like 10, 8 and 12.
Better time back then, right?
Maybe.
A better time. That's
like
a better
the 70s,
time.
70s, late 70s.
That's a better time.
But he would bring them in, and they'd come home from the next, you know, and be like, we got to lay in caskets.
That's
and
cool.
And he'd close the lid. And we got to see bodies, and we got to touch
them. They cremated Jimmy. It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh,
we cremated a cat we found on the way.
We made s'mores.
But nowadays, that guy's in jail, right? If he does that.
If they squeal.
It's a story, probably. It's probably like on the fucking news.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're such pusses.
Yeah, we are. It's terrible. Life is terrible right now.
Life is terrible right now.
No, but it is.
Hey, man, at least we're alive.
It is, because, and you know what? This is a weird thing for me to be pro. Drinking and driving.
Here it comes.
You're kidding.
No, hear me out. Hear me out. We went to a lot of shows last weekend. El Seven on Friday, and then we drove to Riverside to see Lyle Lovett in this cool little old theater in downtown Riverside, which, by the way, is a shithole,
mm-hmm.
but it's a cool theater, and there is an unbelievable restaurant that's fucking so good.
Okay.
If you ever happen to want to see a show in that theater.
In Riverside, okay.
I know. But so Lyle Lovett, I've
by
seen
the river,
him
though.
10 or 12 times.
To the side of it.
And
there's no river in that fucking town, right?
I don't know. There probably is.
Never seen it. Riverside, California.
It's a river of tears. And
they
just,
people realize that
county.
They live in Riverside.
Okay, so Lyle Lovett likes to talk. And he's got that really slow
gait.
Peach pattern. Yeah, yeah. And if you're not used to it, you're going to be like, what the hell's going on?
Wait, gait is a walk.
Well, it could probably be a speech pattern.
Hold
as well.
On. Before I forget, because my mind's a little bit off right now. But I was calling the Luray Caverns. Luray Taverns over and over again on the last
Don't
show.
Don't you hate that?
Oh, my God.
You were?
I didn't catch
yes.
it. I didn't catch it at all.
Did you listen back to the...
No, I was telling my mom about them, and I called them Caverns. I'm like, wait, is that right?
Maybe you didn't.
The Luray Taverns.
Because
no,
I think
I'm
we
sure
would have noticed.
There should be a tavern in a cavern. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Tavern in a cavern.
All right. Sorry, Lyle Lovett speaking with his slow...
Well, so he
gait.
Gives an intro into a song, because he sort of... And he wasn't necessarily... priming you for the un-PC nature of the song. But he goes, this is a song about, you know, my dad, my mom used to take me for drives, and it's a really happy time in my life. And he goes, we live in a different society now with these open container laws. And he goes, but I have really fond memories. My dad putting a beer between his legs, taking me for a drive in that old Buick.
Uh-huh.
And the song was basically about his great memories and all the stuff in there you'd be in huge trouble for.
Yeah.
My dad's sipping on a beer going down the highway 85.
Hand
I'm sitting in the middle, no seatbelt.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're correct, because most people... Okay, no, here's what I really want to say is obviously drinking and driving is illegal and should be illegal because one of us or one of our loved ones can get killed by someone drinking and driving, and it wouldn't have happened if they weren't drinking and driving.
Right.
However, living your life and enjoying your life is...
Without rules, man.
No, but living your life, there's a lot of confinement to it because of the laws and because of lawsuits that should not apply to you, because you should be able to, as a mature adult, have a drink and then drive home. But because you're going to get sued or you might kill somebody.
That's because of the people who can't handle it.
That's what I mean. A few people spoil everything.
95%
that
can.
Everything we do now, we have to look over our shoulder and we're worried about getting sued. Yeah. And it's the same thing with that mortuary guy. That was probably a great experience for them to climb into a casket and have fun. Right now, that will be like opening story. Mortician lets children play in the caskets and touch dead bodies.
And they closed one. He could have been trapped in there.
Yeah.
They would have
never
opened it and put it in the ground.
So how much of life... Are we missing out on, because there's all these rules?
Okay, now that Lyle Lovett
courtesy of
song,
lawsuits.
That's the equivalent of somebody like going to Vegas and winning money and writing a song about it. And then there's another song by another person.
How bad
who
gambling addiction
went
is.
And they lost all their money, and they have a much different song. Like the guy, the kid that grew up with the dad who with the beer between his, who got decapitated in the Buick because he fucking smashed into a bus.
But there was
kids.
Probably a time in this in life, and I think we lived in that time when we were kids, where people understood accidents happen.
Right.
And everything's not a lawsuit. And my son fell off his motorcycle and he's paralyzed. But guess what? That's not the motorcycle manufacturer's
right.
fault. And that's
yeah, but
not...
that's different than someone who had 12 beers then drove home.
No, I agree. So a few bad apples spoil it for everybody else. But and I'm not pro drinking and driving, by the way. I'm just pointing out there was a time where if I'm walking out of here and I trip and I hit my head on your pool.
Yeah, you could sue me and the homeowner.
Absolutely. But there was a time where I wouldn't sue you because I tripped and hit my head, and now I suffer the consequences.
Would you sue me?
Are you fucking cha-ching? No. No. I don't think I would.
You don't think, but you never know, because you could get a lawyer in your ear.
I don't think I would.
Listen, man, it's not Anderson's fault, but he is responsible.
Anderson, I've been rear-ended twice in the past 7 years, and that did a lot of damage, and I didn't sue. Or...
My back taillight's busted right now, and I'm waiting for the guy to get back to me, and I haven't even bothered to like go, dude, what's going on?
Yeah, one, I just told the girl, just be safe, and I left, and she ruined her car.
Yeah.
But I also left her in the rain with a baby.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Some chick that didn't speak English rear-ended me in the rain,
uh-huh.
coming off the freeway, and... Her bumper fell off, her headlights both smashed, uh-huh. and the back of my car was kind of fucked up, but not terribly.
Is this your old car?
Two cars ago, and okay. it was pouring torrential downpour in Orange County.
This is long before litigious. This is like when Lyle Lovett was
a little
kid.
No, this is like six years ago, and I went, can I have your insurance? I no have insurance. And I go, do you have a driver's license? No. And I went, all right. Okay, drive carefully. And as
was,
I drove
was
away,
it dark?
It was midnight as
well,
I drove
what,
away.
She has no headlights. Which
she had a baby in the back seat, not in a baby seat.
Michael
and I just went drive safely. And I, as I'm driving away, I noticed both of her headlights were smashed and her bumper was on the ground. And I was like, I should have probably
might not have had a cell phone.
I thought it was a wash because I did not go. Well, let me call the cops.
Right.
I was being kind.
Right. Because what do you do? I guess you could put her in your car and drive her to like her uncle's house.
No thanks.
Mm-hmm. I go back to Vegas.
I could put her in her car and drive her to her house where her jealous husband lives.
I'm trying to get off subject before we say something racist. I take that conversation to Las Vegas all the time where we're allowed to act like adults in Las Vegas. As much as I hate Las Vegas, but the Nevada rules for the most part, you can go and you can gamble money.
Yeah,
you can smoke inside. Yep. You can drink beers on the sidewalk. And I don't
That's what it was in Italy. I was like, oh, this is amazing because everyone's treated like adults here.
Used to be in a lot of parts of the country, but I don't hear like Las Vegas. I know that it's like, you know, Sin City went up, but I don't see people falling in the street and dying nonstop. And,
you
don't?
There's a lot of that.
It's
not going to be like tonight on the news in
Why
LA.
Not?
People are drunk and dying. And
when I was
I
in the
like
hospital,
that'd be ratings.
When I was in the hospital in Vegas, I asked the surgeon.
Why were you in the hospital in Vegas?
I cut my wrist.
What?
Long ways or cross?
North, south? East, west?
I cut my wrist really bad to the point where when I took my hand off, it was squirting out with my heartbeat.
How'd you cut it?
I fell off a van and stabbed it.
Is that a real story?
It's a real story. But
were you
I
drinking?
Was
of course he was drinking.
Talking to the surgeon.
Why
about,
I even ask that?
I said, were you born here? And he goes, no, I came from L.A. And I said, what's worse? And he goes, it's 100 times worse here. He goes, every day. He goes, I get a dozen suicide attempts. He goes, I get a dozen overdoses. He goes, I might not have that at all in Los Angeles.
There goes my fucking argument.
Yeah, he
there
said,
goes.
He goes, every night. He goes, on Friday and Saturday
Laws
night,
are good.
He goes, we have a lot
safe.
Of people that overdose because they lost all their money.
Fuck.
They
but
drank too much.
In your defense, they're going ham in Vegas because they don't get to do that
it's
here.
True. Yeah. It might get slimmed down if you could do it everywhere.
I don't
know
about
that. Of course
that,
it would. But you're right. They probably are going ham, as you say.
Well, you know what? It's how I feel about
I've heard ham used a lot, and I was like, wait, why do we say like things going ham? It's an abbreviation for hard as a motherfucker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't it hamf? Well, I guess motherfucker's all one word.
Yeah.
Who decides motherfucker's all one word?
I don't know. And who decides?
It's a slang word.
Is it M-U or M-O?
Sometimes if you're black or white, I think.
M-U sounds a lot more brutal.
My dad used to flip people off with the index finger.
What?
That's
you get
not,
it wrong.
That's not flipping people
like,
off.
Dad, you're using, and often, because he was an angry man, flipping people off while walking down the street and in traffic.
They think he's a sports fan.
And he would do the index finger.
I got into a
number one.
I remember he was getting in a fight with a guy in traffic who, for whatever reason, he just deemed this man Italian. So my dad was doing this thing where, like, underneath.
Hey, watch it.
He was doing this thing.
All of a sudden, I get super protective of being a racist.
Like, he was flipping.
Whoa, what?
His chin,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Outward,
yeah.
And saying, Fungu!
Yeah, that's an
Fungu!
Italian
thing. Fungu! I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, he's Italian. That means fuck you in Italian.
Yeah, too bad he's probably not from Italy.
He was just some dude in a Civic.
Yeah.
I don't know why. He's Italian. My dad deemed him Italian.
Was he driving a Ferrari with an ascot?
Fungu! I do want to tell one good story about my dad before the show's over, because I've talked a lot of shit. I've made him seem like an angry little man.
All right, you get
you,
one.
Braves. I feel, and it occurred to me last night, I'm like, I've talked so much shit about him. I would like to tell, and I think I've told
I don't think
it
you've
before.
I think your shit has all come from a loving place.
Yeah, it's entertaining, I guess, but I mean, I think most people in their right mind would not like these stories to be broadcast in any way, shape, or form, you know?
Well, I think most people in their right mind wouldn't want the things we say about ourselves to be broadcast.
That's true, but that's up to us. We're doing that.
Yeah, you got a good point.
He has very little say. God, one of the biggest regrets of my childhood, though, is that social media wasn't a thing back then, because the stuff that I could have posted, and I know a lot of people can say this about their parents, mm-hmm. and their family, but the tirades, if I had just a Vine, you know, back
oh, just that
in the
turkey
day,
going in the trash.
When he would be freaking out, I would just start vining his
just
ass.
The turkey going and in the trash on Thanksgiving.
It would be a feed worth watching, because his rage was hilarious at times, even though it was scary when I was a kid.
Do you find it weird that movies, storytelling, all that stuff, movies especially, written movies, you look at some films and they're just insane, but then you think to yourself, you know what, this has to be toned down to be presentable in an entertaining way, because real life is much more insane than movies.
Yeah.
And because you can't tell people, you can't shoot a real life scenario with crazy situations and have people buy into it at all. When
real life is more unrelenting, because it's the same thing day in, day out, over and over. And again, you just get little snippets of it.
But there's a
movies.
Lot of real life. Like, look at movies that you love that are crazy, that are insanity.
Yeah. Okay, like Fast and Furious 7?
That's where I was going exactly. Anything. You look at Pulp Fiction and you go, I love this movie because it's a roller coaster ride. Then you think, there's crazier stuff that happens in real life in an apartment somewhere that's so emotionally much more insane than this, that if you had that in a movie, you'd be like, this is ridiculous. No one's that mean.
Yeah,
no one's that cruel. No one would say that to their loved one. No one would do that to a child. No one. You just, it's so unbelievable.
Well, what I was going to say next actually is kind of goes against the grain of that, but there's that. I love this movie, This Boy's Life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it. Leonardo DiCaprio,
no.
Robert De Niro, Ellen Barkin, based on Tobias Wolff autobiography.
Did De Niro direct it?
No.
You sure?
He directed that. Yeah, I'm sure. He did. He did Bronx Tales.
Okay, that's the one.
With Chaz Palminteri. But no, This Boy's Life. I'm drawing a blank on the director right now. I'm in a weird place, guys. My dad passed.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that
six
for months
from now. I didn't prepare anything.
But that movie, I loved it. It has a special place in my heart. I saw it numerous times in the theaters. It's one of my favorite movies. And De Niro's character, he plays a stepdad. He was like toned down version of he was a toned up version. He was an exaggerated version. I saw a lot of similarities in him. He was a very abusive, horrible, horrible man in many ways, but a very tragic character too. And he was very sad. And the end when they leave him, spoiler alert, and he's like going, but what about me? It was like really sad, because the guy he couldn't help himself. He was just that angry dude. But like, that was an exaggerated version of my dad. Like, when people would ask me what I'm talking about, I would say, like, have you seen This Boy's Life? Because that was very similar to my dad. Oh.
So tell your good story.
All right, so good story. Dodger related. So you're going to like it.
Oh, now I'm paying attention.
I know I've told this story, because it's one of the better stories that I have that relates. It's right up there. It's probably better than the Fuck You Braves story that I tell which I still get tweets or emails from people, and they'll sign off with, fuck you, Braves. That was when my dad and I were in Pittsburgh at Three River Stadium for a playoff game, and the Braves were our biggest rival at the time. And we won, like, in the bottom of the ninth. It was very exciting, and everyone in the stadium was cheering. It was in Pittsburgh, and I turned to, like, give my dad a hug or high five or something, and he's in the aisle, like, three seats over, screaming in this little boy's face. The kid's probably 12 years old, maybe 10, holding – I remember he's wearing a Braves hat, and he's holding a little mitt to his chest, and my dad's just, like, inches away from his face, just yelling, fuck you, Braves! And that was like my dad in a nutshell. Like, Dad, what are you doing? Come over and be happy
with
me. Was
he ever detained by law enforcement? Because that would seem to be something I'd be like, I got to call security on this dude.
This was a better time.
It was chaos, though. You know, like, the stadium was sold out. It was a giant stadium. Yeah. There was just – but I remember –
So you're allowed to abuse children?
Thinking, why aren't you, like, celebrating with me rather than giving that kid the business? Yeah. But a better a crazier story, actually, and this shines my dad in a better light, I think. Dodger Stadium, probably 15 years ago, and we're sitting. We had really good seats. I think he got them. My dad was a psychologist, and he'd get like perks from like clients and stuff. He saved a lot of people.
I thought you were
going to
say he manipulated somebody into giving them his tickets.
I've never really talked about how, and I don't want to be like one of those stereotypical people. Like, now that my dad's gone, I'm going to like canonize him and make him, you know, in some kind of angel. But truth be told, he was very good at his job for a period of time. He was a psychologist, and he dealt with phobias for the most part, which is funny that he has a son like me with massive phobias. But like fear of flying was kind of a specialty there for a number of years, and he saved a number of people's careers because they couldn't fly. They couldn't fly for business, and he would take them into his office and work with them, and he would get them so that they could fly with no problem. He would get them over that. Countless people he helped with that. And he would get perks along the way, too. So we usually get, like, pretty decent tickets to, like, Dodger games or when we went to go see the Pirates because he's from Pittsburgh. So we're sitting, like, right behind home plate, like, third row probably. A really good seat. Yeah. You can see the curve.
They're the best seats
curve. Yeah.
Next to the guy smoking the cigar doing the
When you go to a baseball
radar
game.
Gun?
Yeah, the radar gun.
Yeah, when you go to a baseball game and you sit right behind home plate, you get an entirely different perspective on the game.
Yeah.
It's the same with a concert. If you're on the upper level of an arena or you're on the fourth
row,
you're like,
oh,
this is totally different.
The both at the same event. I love doing that, seeing it from different perspectives.
Oh,
like moving up.
More people said.
Or moving down or moving around. I love that when you can move. If it's a kind of an empty stadium, you can watch it from different angles.
How often do you do that, actually?
I used to do a lot more, but especially back in when the Kings played in the Forum. You could walk that track. There was a track that went all the way around that split the upper level from the lower level. And I remember I'd
You could just walk and act like you're coming back from concessions, but you're actually watching the game.
I'd tell my dad that I was going to the bathroom. That was my move. I was probably 13, and I'd really be going to, you know, get away from
That was your move?
To have a cigarette.
I'm going to the bathroom.
To say
I had a move, I'd say I'm going to go get some popcorn,
so
and
I'd
be
smoke.
Gone for 45 minutes.
I'd be
come
gone
back,
for 10 minutes.
My teeth.
10 minutes. 10 minutes. And I wouldn't go to the bathroom. I would just walk that track, watching the game from as I was walking around the track, keeping my eye on my dad, making sure that he wasn't noticing me, and I'd be, you know, sneaking cigarettes. And it was great because you could smoke in the Forum.
That's
crazy. So great.
You know, that would be interesting to watch a sporting event in the round, but it's the opposite sort of round where the stadium moved around. Like you could ride on a cart going really slow so you got every perspective.
That would be great. They should do that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they will.
Expensive seats.
No, the whole stadium should spin. Or the field should spin slowly.
Yeah, the cost of the new stadium was going to be $1.1 billion. Now it's $3 billion.
So we're like third row.
And it's broken down every other day.
Dodger Stadium. And Jose Guillen was my favorite player at the time, Tyler. Do you remember Jose Guillen? He played for the Pirates at the time. And sitting right in front of us was this hardcore Cholo.
Yeah.
Who was berating my beloved Pirates throughout the entire game. And Jose Guillen gets up there and he speaks Spanish. I believe he's Dominican.
I think so.
So this hardcore thug, like just a typical like Los Angeles Dodger Cholo fan, right? He starts yelling like, fuck your mother, chinga tu madre, all this stuff at Jose Guillen.
Chinga tu madre?
Chinga tu madre.
Okay.
Because he wore with an earshot. And I'm annoyed by this, and I know what he's saying, but I, like an asshole, just start, and I'm drinking a couple beers, I'm there with my dad, and I start just speaking Spanish gibberish, like words that don't make sense, kind of mocking him. And I can tell he's kind of getting pissed, he's like turning, he's not turning full around, but he's kind of like looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, he hears you, he's aware of it.
And my dad's getting mad at me, saying, dude, what are you doing, man?
He just reached in his pocket to make sure he brought a straight razor.
Why are you doing this? Stop it. Like, so my dad can start shit with people, but he got pissed if I did. So anyways, long story short, here we go again with that long story short. God damn, I got to stop saying that.
You can't say long story short, by the way, like I do, and you do three quarters of the way into the story.
I know. It's just like a bridge that I got to stop using. I use it when I'm tired. I'm tired, guys.
I hear you.
So the Dodgers win walk-off. What is walk-off, by the way?
What?
Walk-off was not a thing when I was a kid watching baseball. Now everything's a walk-off home run, walk-off base hit.
Are you sure it wasn't a thing? Because it seems like I heard that.
I never heard
it. It's probably a thing.
No.
I think it's been a thing for a long
time. Who's walking?
When did they start calling it a home run? Because to me, it was just like a four hit.
No, it was never a four hit.
When did they get that terminology?
Babe Ruth gets his second four hit of the night.
I remember when strikes used to be called, you suck!
Who's walking off?
The team. Well, the team that loses is sad and walks off.
Oh, they walk off, yeah. That's what it's referring to?
I don't know if it's referring to them or the winners.
There's some kind of walking off that's going on.
It's because something of a finality has happened, and now you're just like, oh, we're just done because we hit a walk-off.
If you hurt yourself,
done. Now you just walk into the
you sprain your ankle when you hit
room.
That home run. They call it a walk-it-off home run.
Michael.
So you know how coach is always yelling, walk it off.
Aren't all credits in movies then walkouts?
Walk-off credits.
Everyone's leaving.
Overthinking
walking out.
It.
Well, some people stay.
But they don't walk. Do they run off the field in between innings when the game's not over?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
I see a lot of walking. Baseball players are lazy.
Hmm.
They are the laziest athletes of all athletes.
Make the most money, so.
Not really.
Play the most games. All right, so.
Golfers make more
pitchers.
Money.
Only if they win.
So there's a walk-off event that occurs where evidently there was probably some players on the field walking off. It was against the Pirates, and the Pirates lost. So the entire Dodger Stadium's erupting in joy and happiness because it was dramatic, and it was like bottom of the ninth. I saw so many bottom of the ninth losses in that goddamn fucking park. Anyways, the dude, Cholo dude in front of me.
Just leave after the eighth.
Does any of this sound familiar?
No. I don't think I've heard this.
Cholo dude in front of me stands up, immediately does a 180, staring right at me, takes his two-thirds full beer, big beer, and just sloshes it right in my face all over me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And everyone's streaming out of the stadium. Like, just a mass exodus, right? So I'm kind of stunned. I couldn't believe what just happened. Before I know what's going on, the guy's running. He does a puss move. He does that and then runs out.
Yeah. Oh, what a bitch.
Yep. I look, my dad's sitting on my left. I look to my dad to see what's happening. He's already crossing over me, running up after the guy. Running up the aisle, right behind home plate. So I start running after my dad, and I find him. He's dazed and confused at the top, and there's people streaming out. I'm bumping into people. He's dazed and confused at the top underneath the little awning with a bloody lip. The dude punched him. I guess my dad grabbed him.
Oh, my God.
Dude turned around and punched my dad right in the face. And then I just go speeding off after this guy, have him in my sights. And I'm not thinking about women or children or safety. Yeah. I just have him in my
sights.
That's
a weird time to think about sex.
It's like I'm on safety. I didn't say sex.
Oh, I thought you meant like checking out the chicks as you're leaving.
What?
I don't know. When you said I'm not thinking about women or children, not children, but when you said I'm not thinking about women, I thought I'm not trying to hit on anybody right now. Women are not on my mind. I'm just chasing the cholo.
That's all I was chasing was the cholo, and he was not a woman or a child, so I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking cholo mode, and I played inside linebacker.
Ooh, cholo mode.
I played inside linebacker in football, and I was in that fucking mode. Like, I could almost see a face mask in front of my eyes. Like, I had him lined up. I was about to just leave my feet and just take him out at what we would have hit into, like, the seats.
Yeah.
Because he was up by, like, where they sell the Dodger dogs, but I was going to take him back into the seats, and I was – as I was about to propel my body and just launch, I hit the largest black man I've ever seen at a sporting event. I hit his back really, really hard. And I just stopped dead in my tracks. He turns around and he looks at me. Now he's pissed at me. And I'm like, I better just cut my losses and thank God and go back, find my dazed and confused and beat up dad. And but the fact that my dad, with you know, just like his instinct, his fatherly instinct just kicked in.
I like that.
And he went chasing after this very dangerous individual who... You know, it was before they were pretty lax on security back then. Who knows if I catch up with that guy? You know, is he going to stab or, you know?
Who knows?
So thank God for the black guy. But my dad, I like that. It was almost a heroic story, even though he kind of got beat up.
Do you ever wake up, not a nightmare necessarily, but just have a feeling of just being livid, wishing you could find that fucking guy now?
Mm-mm. I let that go. I got a story out of it, so it's worth it.
I cannot let that stuff go.
I let it go. I mean, there's people, like, I don't let a lot of things go. Like, Corolla's always going to be a villain in my head, and I'm going to always be annoyed by his existence, the way that he treats people.
There's shit that's still in my head from the 5th and 6th grade, and I still want to find those fuckers.
Yeah.
That's good, Mike. That's healthy.
I know it's not good or healthy.
No, I don't really want to find
but
that.
But if
that's
you
like,
say it
that's
is.
That's how you end up getting your car and driving out to the desert on random days.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll see people in real life, and I'm reminded of those people. And I'm like, I bet that fucker turned into this guy that I'm talking to right now. And I hate both of them equally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Or if they have a similar name.
No, I'm not that superficial.
Really?
There was a contest in my little class.
Like, what if you and Jillian have a child, and it's a boy, and Jillian goes, I want to name him Adam.
No, that's not happening. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I mean.
There was a kid in my class, fifth grade, Brian Garrett.
Or she wants to name him Cholo Mode.
Cholo Mode.
I'm certain that my teacher, Mrs. Fujimoto, or Miss Fujimoto, wanted to bang Brian Garrett. I'm almost confident. I'm almost 100% confident, and I wouldn't be shocked if they did bang.
How old?
Fifth grade. Mrs. Fujimoto, Brian
10?
Garrett.
That
I guess
seems,
10 or 11.
That seems kind of weird.
Shouldn't be using full names.
Probably not.
But we had a little contest. Like, whoever won got to do something cool. I forget what it was. We had to pick a number. Whoever was closest.
Yeah.
I never got shit back then. I was a horrible childhood.
Did you go into full Cholo mode?
No, I picked the number, and I was closest, right? Like, the number was 36, and I picked, like, 38 or something. And Brian Garrett picked 32. So he was close, next closest. So I'm like, I won. I'm so excited. And then fucking Brian Garrett says, I watched The Price is Right, and if you go over, you're automatically disqualified. Mrs. fucking Fujimoto said, you're right, Brian. That is true. Sorry, Andy, but you don't get the prize.
And she blew a kiss, and you're like, what the fuck?
And I still wake up and think about that every now and then.
That is upsetting.
Price is Right rules don't apply in real life.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's what kind of game are you guys playing in school, by the way? Okay, everyone pick a number. Whoever gets closest.
We're doing math. Everyone pick a number.
Yep.
We had...
Am I thinking of red or yellow? And Brian's like, red. You're right, Brian. Anderson's a loser.
It kind of felt like that. We had Walter Matthau come to
don't
our...
Don't make me go into full Cholo mode!
Come to our class, come to our school once.
Are
to
you
give
kidding
an assembly.
Me?
Walter Matthau was like the speaker, and I remember...
Did he stand for 2 days doing crack?
What? Walter Matthau?
Was he talking about sharks?
Did I stay up doing
no,
crack?
No, did he?
Why? Why would Walter Matthau do crack?
I figured that's...
He doesn't
know.
Do crack.
He does meth. He's Walter Matthau.
You guys should be happy. That was a callback to earlier conversation.
But doesn't mix. Oh, because he was like
you.
He's and me.
Yes,
guys, I'm in a weird place.
Why?
Did he come in like it was Bad News Bears, swilling a beer?
I'll never know because I was so excited about that. I couldn't believe that I was actually going to see him, even though he walked his dog in front of my house. So he had a big shaggy sheepdog, and I'd see him in nature. Often, but yeah. I was so excited.
Nature.
I didn't actually interact with him. I was so excited that I was going to see him in the flesh.
Did you just say I didn't actually get erect with him?
Interact.
Interact. Oh. Thank you, because if you thought that, somebody else might. So I'm counting the days down. Walter Matthau, boy, oh boy, he's going to be here in 3 days, 2 days.
That would be two.
And then
had you seen Bad News Bears at that time?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I didn't know that McEnroe was with Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah,
for a
long
while.
Long time.
Anyways, I didn't get to go see Walter Matthau, the little assembly, because I laughed about gardeners outside the window of the classroom.
What?
Because I was told that if I laughed one more time, then I wasn't going to be able to go to the assembly. And then there was a bunch of gardeners on the side. We were like taking a test or something, and my friend said, they're invading. And it looked like war, like we were in Vietnam a little bit, and they were coming like through the bushes, and I thought that was hilarious. And I didn't get to see Walter Matthau.
Oh, my God. Where were you instead? In the principal's office?
I had to sit in the class, and there was like a janitor or somebody who was in there with
that
me.
That is
like,
devastating.
No, I don't get to see him because of you, you asshole.
Yep.
Wow. 2 days.
The things that my mind was telling me were going on in that assembly room with Walter Matthau were far better than anything.
Of course.
He was.
All right, I'm going to recreate your favorite scenes from Bad News Bears, and I brought along with me Tatum O'Neal. He brings out like the top 5 stars of the movie, and they just play baseball with the kids and sign autographs and stuff.
He goes over to like the seat where I would have been sitting, but since I'm not there, he just goes to the right where Brian Garrett is.
Walter Matthau at a school, that's a kind of incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. He lived locally.
Yeah, but that's weird. Like, what did he have to offer up?
I don't know. I'll never know.
We'll never know. We got to find somebody from your school and ask them on the show. What did Walter Matthau say?
Matt Cohen was my best friend, but I think he's probably dead.
Do you think he's still? Do you think Walter Matthau's wife is still alive? Because they probably live around here, and I'd like to find her and go. Did Walter ever mention doing a school assembly?
Mike really wants to get forensic on this shit.
I know he's one of the most beloved actors of the last 40 years, and he's done some of the most classic movies like Pelham 1-2, taking a Pelham 1-2-3 or 1-2-8, whatever.
1-2-3.
Bad
so
News Bears,
great.
Possibly the greatest children's movie that's ever existed, a classic that holds up strong to this day, some 40 years after it was made. And I like to think he sat at home and just talked about that class.
I love Walter.
That was the greatest speech I ever gave,
like, there
honey.
Was this one empty chair, and it made me so sad.
Ate away at me the whole time. Where is that kid? Why didn't he show up?
I've always wondered what happened to
like
him.
The assembly hall at the school is so perfectly laid out that they have the exact right amount of chairs for children. That
he was
ever...
in two of the most classic movies of all time. I forgot about The Odd Couple.
Yeah. Grumpy Old Men.
Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah,
but
Bad News Bears is...
Taken to Pelham is my favorite, I think.
Yeah, that movie's great.
I like it more than Bad News. It's tough. There are apples and oranges, but Taken to Pelham, I tell everyone that they need to watch that movie. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest example of a fantastic movie in that era.
And the photography in that movie is so...
The music.
Interesting.
The music.
But the photography is unlike anything of that era. It was different. I think they used wider... I think they used a different perspective on that film. Am I right about that, or am I?
They might have done cinescope.
Just making that up.
4K.
They might have done cinescope.
Might have gone 4K, even though they never heard of it that term back then.
I wish I never heard of 4K.
Me
I'm
too.
So fucking
me
tired
too.
Of it.
Me
plus,
too.
There isn't 8K already.
I'm so
a thing?
Tired of just hearing K's and things. Circle K, KKK.
What? Why do you hear that so often?
No, I just
Special
don't like
K.
the sound of a K. It's too harsh. K from The Godfather.
You must hate it when a pitcher is doing really well on a Saturday afternoon in the old ballpark.
K.
Because they call them K's, and they put the K's in the outfield.
Oh, yeah. And I hate when they put K's after numbers to signify the 1,000.
There's 3 K's.
This car costs 30K. You're like, what?
You don't like that?
Aggressive
nope.
hatred of the letter K.
You know what I miss?
What?
And
what
I probably don't miss it because it happens all the time.
I'd
be annoying. But when you watch Little League games, which I never do, so I don't know why I brought this up. But, hey, batter.
It would be funny if they did that in the major leagues, like grown men going, hey, batter.
Wouldn't shock me one bit. They let the coach wear a uniform. They let the coach squeeze his big fat ass into a fucking baseball uniform,
tradition.
And everyone acts like that's normal.
It's tradition.
Wait, what?
The coach wears
a
fucking uniform.
Weird. That is weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't weird when I was a little kid, but now I see it. I'm like, dude, cover up.
Yeah, put a suit on, like hockey at least. Have some respect.
It'd be pretty hot.
Basketball and hockey. That's how you're supposed to coach. Coming from a guy that knows nothing about sports.
I hope that sounds better than it sounds.
Yeah,
for
guess
me.
Who can't hear it? You just made it worse for us by putting on your headphones to show off that you're the only one that can hear it?
Well, it stopped anyways.
Oh, is that Ocean's 11? Or is that Taking a Pelham?
Taking a Pelham. Oh, so good.
That movie's great. I'm going to see if it's on Netflix.
It was streaming for the longest time.
I watched Creep last night, the new Mark Duplass. Actually, he didn't direct it, but he was in
it.
Is
it a movie or a show?
It's a movie. They had a cast and crew of 3 people.
Really?
Yeah.
It's called Creep?
Yeah, it's good.
Netflix?
Netflix.
So good that I should watch it?
Well, it depends. I don't know. Like, I enjoyed it. It's about a guy who answers a Craigslist ad. This is like, I need a videographer to come for a day, $1,000. Just need 8 hours of your time. And he goes up to this cabin in the woods and meets the guy, and then it's... It's all like shot from his perspective because he's a videographer.
Is it scary? I don't like
it's,
scary
it's,
movies.
It's suspenseful. It's not like scary.
Okay, maybe
scary,
I'll watch it.
But it's suspenseful.
Is it funnier than it is scary?
No.
Oh, well, then I'm out.
Okay, it's funnier than it is
scary. It's got to be a balance. Scary movies got to be funny.
So you remember how you said that you didn't know how to just like, you didn't want to just like drop information on people, like on the podcast and catch them off guard.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know how to. Like,
are you doing that right
things.
Now?
Yeah, I'm going to do that right
wait,
now.
Wait, before you do that, just because
just,
I'll forget. I want to ask you guys a question. Like, how should I have done it? Was that right to send you a text right before you come over? Should I have told you yesterday?
I don't think there's a right way and a wrong way. I think.
I'm glad you didn't blindside us in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah,
but not in the middle of the podcast, but like maybe when you guys got here, like, hey, it's going to be a little bit of a different podcast. I don't know.
Whatever way you can live with and that you feel comfortable doing is probably the right way because I think a lot of stuff a phone call is better, but this is your dad, it's your, you know,
plus you guys are kind of like both, it would have been hard to like three-way call, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then who do I call first? And I want to hurt feelings.
Yeah, I mean, you want to hurt Mike's feelings by calling me first.
The guy that directed Creep.
You called him first, so fuck you.
I remember reading about Creep recently, and it's because the same guy that directed The Overnight, which is also a very small little independent movie that was shot in like 12 days or something. So that's kind of, I like that. I like that when people are able to make movies
well,
on shoestring
that's
budgets.
Like Mark Duplass' thing. He makes like 4 films a year right now or something like that.
Yeah. Patrick Bryce, yeah, he produces a ton of shit.
Patrick Bryce he's also in it. It's Mark Duplass and Bryce.
Right.
So is that a bird?
No, Mike. It's a guy with a flute out front.
His neighbor, it is cool.
I will say that living where there's trees, you could just be the guy with the flute, and he wouldn't annoy people because
it's your favorite singer from
is it Zamfir, the master of the pan flute?
Yes, he's drinking rainwater and playing.
Richie Blackmore.
All right, Tyler, drop some shit on us. What are you doing?
I was going to let you guys know that you're going to be Uncle Anderson and Uncle Mike.
Whoa, my God! Holy shit!
Holy moly! Wow! Congratulations!
Yeah. I thought that wasn't going to happen because you guys got the dog.
No, what's happening?
Wow!
We think it's hard to get the three of us together now.
Oh my God!
Congratulations!
We found out.
I know you guys were trying really hard. We didn't talk about it.
I haven't talked about it on the show at all, but.
Holy free holy.
We had some pretty rough like infertility issues, and like we did a round of like it's called a mini IVF that didn't work, and then I got my new job, which actually has infertility insurance on it, so it's gonna like
really?
Cover yeah
that's a thing
yeah entertainment insurance I guess is like really good.
Do all dishwashers
holy smokes
and busboys have the same insurance?
No,
that's weird.
Are you saying I'm a dishwasher?
No, I'm just saying like, that a lot of them have kids.
Oh, gotcha.
I like how you come in, you swing by with something that's truly racist. Like, we say stuff all the time. I hope that wasn't racist.
Let me just poke my head in right here and just shout something.
Out of nowhere.
Hey, guys, I'm not in my right mind.
Busboys have really good insurance.
Fertility insurance. Hey, guys, you can't hold me to what I just said, man. I'm going
what are you, Hulk Hogan?
Hey, Jills, they're having a baby. How many?
That is crazy.
How
wow.
How long is she?
It'll be like 2 months and like a day. Like, this is going out on Friday. We have our... Second, like, we, 2 Fridays ago, we had the, like, the, what the fuck? The ultrasound. Like, heard the heartbeat.
Wow.
Saw, like, little pictures. Weird.
Holy moly.
But so, what I was going to say is,
you
like,
guys are adults.
We thought we were going to have to do another round of IVF and ask for more money from my family and all that terrible stuff. And the insurance was like, oh, we won't pay for it until you do, like, 2 more rounds of, like, where they just, like, take the jizz and squirt it in.
What? Come on. I thought I was jizz guy.
And...
Don't fight over the jizz crown, you guys.
And so we did one of those, and then we went to Italy.
I thought I was the most racist. This is bullshit.
And we found out in Italy. So that curtailed Lauren's wine drinking for the rest of the trip, which was unfortunate for her.
Oh, you could have hated that kid forever.
Yeah, kid fucked up your trip.
And
yeah.
I'll tell you, pregnancy tests are very expensive in Italy. Like fucking €16 over there. It's like, give me a dollar store.
Yeah, dollar stores have them.
Yep.
They have them right next to the condoms, which I always think is ironic.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So it should be March. The kid might be trying to creep in on my birthday, which is unacceptable.
You're not going
to
name it Adam, are you?
I'm glad that I get to...
Callback. I just did a callback.
Or Gary Glennick, or what's that kid's name?
Gary Glennick.
I get
Gary
to keep
Glitter?
The title as the least mature of the three of us.
Well, and I've been telling Lauren, she's like, when are you going to tell them? I was like, well, I want to tell them on the show because we can't post about it and then be like, hey, what the fuck? Why didn't you tell us? But I was like, I also want to tell them on the show and get the reaction.
This is perfect timing.
But then you send the text today about your dad. I was like, oh no, like do I still tell them?
No, it's perfect. Because like, hey, guys, I lost somebody in my family. And Tyler was like, I got it filled. I got it covered.
Got it covered.
What
that seat in the auditorium with Walter Matthau was filled.
If this was after Disaster India, we would believe that's a reincarnation of Anderson's dad.
Still could be.
If Anderson would be trying to...
But this, it's 2 months along, so...
Yeah, I know, but my dad checked out a couple months ago, like mentally.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. It's gonna, a baby's going to come out just giving a big index finger.
Oh my God! Wow, you guys are having a baby. Are you going to find out? Are you going to find out the sex? You're going to
be
surprised.
Not fuck that.
Why? It's a surprise.
I don't want a surprise. Plus, you got to like
You got to know so you can talk yourself into being happy about whatever it is.
And Lauren keeps trying to come up with names, and I'm like, I can't seriously consider names until I know the sex.
Should be some kind of Italian name.
Yeah,
like Mauricio.
No,
Mauricio. Is that an Italian name?
It isn't it? Giuseppe. Got to name the child Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
I was angling for Peroni because that was the beer I was drinking when we
The only problem is that ties in with Peroni's disease, which is when you have a bent penis.
Yeah. When was the last
also, time? It's the problem is it's a terrible name.
Yeah. Peroni.
What?
So you guys found out. So I've not seen Lauren other than the quick how do you do when you guys came by to pick up your dog when you got back from Italy.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen her with her enormous breasts and her glowing face.
Are we going to try to keep all this stuff a secret until the show posts, or are people going to find out about all this?
No, we're like...
I'm not posting.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to post on
Twitter
right now.
I don't tweet
right
for 3 months, then I'll make my dad die. That'd be weird.
That's what I mean. Is this because I wonder if listeners who like to be kept abreast, kept up on things, are going to be like... They recorded this on Saturday. We didn't hear it till Thursday or Friday.
Who cares?
I care.
We don't owe them, like, hey, By the way, yesterday something
maybe
happened.
I didn't quite explain what I was doing last night at the crime scene, but it's now called Microno Breaking News.
Yeah, that is.
I like to get information out fast.
I get. You know what he might be asking is like, how much of this can I talk about on my podcast? But he
My podcast.
We don't exist in his universe on his podcast
because I keep it separate.
Yeah, I know.
But
I promoted
I promoted some stuff on the about this show on my podcast.
That's good.
I caught Mike. Mike was. Or not caught him, but we were talking about this at the Wall Street Casino. He was like walking around, like starting to like shoot stuff, like for and like record for his podcast.
Oh, yeah,
like, wait, what am I doing?
He was telling, yeah, he was telling, giving all the good stuff away that happened on the Destination Disaster on his podcast.
I was,
but then he stopped. Did we ever talk about that horrible fat fuck that we saw at that gas station in Baker that pulled up in a massive truck? It was like a Ford 450.
I don't think it was
running. It was rumbling and running, engine running, and he was
kind of drifting. You didn't talk about that, but that was weird.
It was awful. And he drifted towards Mike and I were just minding our business, trying to walk.
As we always are.
Across the gas station, because we parked on one side of the gas station. We're crossing by to go into probably the nicest structure in all of Baker, probably easily.
Absolutely.
That gas station where they have an A&W, a Subway, like a Mrs. Fields Cookies. They have like all these, and it's clean. It's clean.
It's very clean.
Yes.
We're trying to walk into there. It's a scorching hot day. And this horrible fat man and this giant pickup truck. I mean, it's like the biggest pickup truck I've ever seen.
F-350.
It doesn't even matter what he looked like or what the truck looked like.
It was
a dude in a modern truck. Yeah. Not brand new, but not, it wasn't.
It was pretty much brand new. It had a 7 on the license plate, if that tells you anything. The first number
was
7.
No, that doesn't tell me anything.
It's a new car.
I thought you meant it was good luck.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had no idea.
I have a 6.
So next year it's an 8?
Yeah, it'll be. I think I already saw a couple 8s out there. This is California centric, obviously. But he.
So what does my car have?
Probably a 7.
You do even have plates on your car?
Yeah, it's 9 months old, eight months old.
I bet you have 7.
I was wondering if you're those people that just keep the dealer plates on for like.
I did for. Mm-hmm. I was going to, but there's no reason now that there's the red light cameras are gone.
It's true.
Toll roads. Hey, I went through a toll road and I'm waiting to get fined and I haven't got it yet.
Yeah, I did the same
thing. You got to go to the website. You got 3 days.
I went to the website and they're like too late because I forgot.
Mm. You'll get it, probably.
It's like $150 each way.
No.
I'm going to get that for San Diego, too, when I went down there for 4th of July.
How is that legal? You used to have 48 hours, and now you have 5 days. It's like a big deal. Like, now you have 5 days to remember when you get home, like, you know, hours later when you're on a trip, and go online and remember this website and put it on. How is that legal? And it gave me no warning. All of a sudden, it was happening.
It's the same as when Disneyland used to let you exchange your money for Disney dollars.
Doesn't sound the same really at all.
It's the same because it seems like, oh, I have 3 days to go on the website and pay this $7 fee. But realistically, you're human. You're going to forget.
Yeah.
Disneyland, you cash in $60-$80 for Disney dollars, and you just take it home. So it's basically.
Is this still going on?
No. They had to stop it. They had problems with the government.
Remember Disneyland when you get the tickets for the rides?
Yeah.
Oh, sure that was great.
It was great.
You'd go and you'd a la carte your rides. You'd buy tickets.
You know why it was great?
In a little booklet.
Because it separated people.
Separated people? Yeah, it's good. Separation's good.
You only had a couple of e-tickets, so you had to use them wisely. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody can run to the Matterhorn. Everybody can run to Space Mountain. I don't like
before, it. Before, it's just
says the people, man who doesn't go on rides.
People with monocles and top hats.
you had limited runs, so it made it better. It balanced things
what
more.
What were we talking about with enthusiasm right before the toll road came up?
How long do you have on the toll road?
Oh, the fat man. The horrible fat man.
Oh, yeah.
The fat man. Thank you. So, he's got an equally robust, rotund woman sitting next to him, looking sad and sweaty, and a baby.
By the way, I was just going to say it's not important to point out how fat they are, but it is important because that proves they've been eating a lot.
And they've been eating a lot.
Yeah, they're not starving.
And they're in a new white, clean truck.
Yeah,
I would
white
say it was probably this year's. It's a white truck.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about colors. And they have a baby seat, which it occurred to me after he made us walk all the way around this massive because
he blocked us.
our route.
Yeah, he blocked us.
So we had to confront him, tell him what he didn't want to hear, and then walk around his truck.
Yeah, it was humiliating.
It occurred to me that baby seat, front seat, after we walked away. He had the baby seat in the front seat with the baby in it. Baby also massive.
Yep.
Little blob. And he says, hey, man, can you help out? We're trying to get gas money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. No, no, we can't.
No, sir.
And then we hard right around his massive truck into CU getting Subway sandwiches. That was what happened.
It's just, I think we're just shocked by the gall of people.
Gall, that's the word.
That you can, you know, you can.
The gumption.
Temerity. What the fuck?
The tumescence.
Can't he see? It's not tumescence. Can't he see, like, how we see him? I mean, how can you think that's going to work?
I think there's, to a lesser extent, it's the same kind of people we see on the same intersections every single day. See,
well,
out there.
When they have dogs with them, it's fucking heartbreaking.
If he was legit, he would have been like, he would be like, I know what this looks like. It looks like I have a, like, a fancy new car, like, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe,
but
that,
like,
was his next line, but
I, like,
we didn't let him stand.
I, really fucked up. Could I get, like, $2 for, like, yep, so I can get 2 more miles?
I'm going to be honest with you. I just stole this truck from the last guy whose throat I slit after he didn't give me money.
You haven't
and
told the
I have no money.
Part.
I've lost everything. I'm a loser. I've got no potential. And I'm going to kill again. And I'm asking for a couple of bucks for gas. We'd be like, you know what? We'll fill it up. You know what's worse than slitting your throat is if somebody threatens to slit that thing on the back of your ankle.
Oh, the Achilles.
Yeah.
My dad, just a story that would have come up, right, whether you know, the dad thing was a topic. I remember he used to tell me, because he went to school in Mexico City for a while back in the 70s.
Serious?
And I guess Mexico City was bad, bad times. Like, it was like one of the most dangerous. I think it still is. I think it's dangerous again.
I don't think it's great.
But I remember him telling me stories about, you never want to go to Mexico, Andy. Everyone, what they do is they have razor blades on the end, the tips of their shoes, and they come up to tourists, they stand behind them, and they kick you in the Achilles tendon, sever your tendon, and then you fall to the ground paralyzed in pain, can't get up because your Achilles tendon is severed, and they just take your wallet and your watch and walk away.
It's a lot of work just to take a wallet.
Is it? You just kick them. It's a real easy little tap.
You could, yeah, but you could also,
it's
just
a lot of damage to the person.
Chloroform them and take their wallet. Or you
That's
could just say,
work.
Give me your wallet or I'm going to shoot you.
It's like, no, they did it like in crowded, busy streets where there's like a lot of people, and they come up and they, like, at a bullfight, and then they kick you, and it'd be, and then you just fall to the ground.
That sounds like a rumor. That sounds like the organ stealing rumor.
It's the same as, like, hey, never let anyone know that their lights are off when it's nighttime, because
those
gangbangers,
the Crips are
going to
kill you.
They drive around with their lights off, and they wait for someone to flash them the lights to let them know, and then they shoot you. That's a fucking rumor that's been going around for years.
But I'm not going to do it.
Doctor Drew's going to be like, it's true.
Drew,
no one dies.
Gullible.
No one passes nice in their sleep, and that's all true.
Drew is the most gullible. Most gullible. Is this time to wrap this baby up?
Probably.
You have to pee.
How are
Mike?
You doing?
That's usually. I'm doing all right.
I have to.
Yeah.
Pee,
how do you think you're going to be later?
It's such an unpredictable thing. It's very
is
odd.
Is that family dinner going to be weird?
I'm sure. Especially when I whip out the pictures. I was kind of bummed out that I didn't find many pictures. But like when I was looking through the pictures, I'd see one. Then honestly, I've been tearing up over the last 4-5 months, and then even before that, especially since we put him in a home. It's every time I think, you know, I'm never going to see or be able to talk to my dad the way that he used to be, because he's already kind of half checked out, even more so at the end. But it's unpredictable. Just last night, I was talking to Jillian, and I was in the kitchen, and she was on the couch, and I was saying something to her. Wasn't even related to my dad. And then I couldn't even get the sentence out. Like, it hit me like halfway through the sentence. I don't even know what it was. It just... out of nowhere, and I couldn't finish the sentence, and next thing I know, I'm standing in the sink, like, trying to catch my breath, because I'm crying so hard, and poor Jillian comes in, and she's sad, too, you know, so she has to console
me. She's like, I married a pussy.
She knows that. She knew that going on.
Yeah, I know that feeling. It's amazing how you can just become overwhelmed emotionally with stuff like that instantly.
But I'm not going to camp, you know. I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, if you need me, or if anything's going on, or you need any... paperwork or like any administrative, if you need help from me or even just
gotta do it now,
a shoulder, I'll be here. But otherwise, I plan on going to camp, you know, 3 short days after my dad died. I almost said pass away.
You almost said it legitimately.
It does seem like people say that because it's polite, but realistically, and we don't need to be morbid about it. We don't need to go
kick the bucket.
Know. Yeah.
Kick
the bucket, I kind of like, actually.
I wonder where
it
that
sounds
came
so
from.
Callous.
Where
though.
Did that come from?
It sounds so insensitive.
Isn't that like when you're standing on the bucket with like your noose and the bucket is kicked out from under you?
Yeah, but you wouldn't be kicking the bucket.
You
somebody
could
else
kick it
would
if you wanted to kill yourself.
Yeah, but I've heard that as a reference for people just dying all the time.
And here's another strange thing. Like, I'm not taking time off work either. I'm already going to take 5 days off for camp.
Yeah.
Because I don't get paid when I'm not at work. I don't get sick days. I'm an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. I got to go to work. I don't get like personal days. And I thought about taking Monday off, but the last thing you want to do is just sit and wallow. You know what I mean? So
what
I want to
do for
busy.
Those few hours. Like, is there something more productive you can be doing?
It's all my mom keeps telling
me.
No,
like, I said that in earshot of your wife, who's probably like, "Yeah, you could be spending that time with his wife."
Yeah. Well, I could be spending it with her right now too, but I'm not.
Good point.
She's just like 20 yards away. But like when I go into work on Monday, do I just drop it on Mike and Drew and Ann, or like, hey, goodbye. Just a little quick heads up. My dad died. Anyways.
Well, it depends if you want to mention it before the show, they'll probably mention it on the air, and then you're going to start getting sympathy from people.
I don't want
that. I was going to say, if you don't want that, tell them after the show.
And then, but I got to tell them, and there's really no easy bridge, and last thing I want to do is not tell them, go to camp, and then, like, when they ask me, because periodically, like Mike or Drew, like, you know, about once a week, once every 2 weeks, hey, how's your dad doing, by the way, because they know that he's in a home and whatnot. I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, he died last month.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you.
That's
maybe
weird.
Fuck the show up as much as you possibly can, and then when you get called out on it, go, I'm sorry, my head's not here. My dad
not
died.
Bad.
But you're enjoying fucking things up.
Not bad at all.
And then no one can go like, that's unacceptable. Just be like, my head's not in it.
As selfish and narcissistic as that sounds, numerous times yesterday, and I was in a very strange headspace. I continue to be a little bit today, but yesterday especially. I was running errands, and I was in traffic, and I was doing all this stuff, and numerous times I thought, you know, if like, I get in an argument right now, or somebody calls me on my shit, or I get pulled over, I could drop like that. This is the only day in my entire life that I can say, listen, my dad died today, and be honest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Numerous times I thought, am I going to be able to play this card? Numerous times.
I remember my friend Matt. He wanted his dog from home. He lived on the west side. His mom lived on the east coast. And he just decided he wanted his dog, but he wasn't allowed to have a dog in his apartment. And he took the dog anyway. And when his landlord came over one time, like months later, and went, that dog's not allowed to stay here, he said, it was my mom's and she just died. And the guy went, I'm so sorry, and left. And then maybe 6 months later, he was freaking out because he's like, my mom is coming to visit and she's going to stay with me. And I don't know what I do if my landlord comes by or like and meets her.
Oh, this is a good story.
But nothing ever came
of
it.
You know what he
does? But I thought it was great.
You know what he does? He starts prepping the landlord by bringing older ladies around.
Ah, yeah.
Like, hey, this is kind of what I'm
into.
And,
like, winking.
And then the landlord goes, since you're into weird shit, so am I. And I like to watch a young dude fuck an old lady. So let's go. Rent's free.
So, like, she's...
So now he's fucking his mom for free rent.
I don't know. Like, you jump right into that. I was going to just suggest, like, his mom doesn't know what's going on. But, like, every time the landlord's with an eye shot, like, he has to, like, put his arm around and maybe be a little more caressing.
This is a Vince Vaughn movie if I ever saw it.
Oh, Christ, now it's terrible. Vince Vaughn fucking sailed out of my world a while ago.
I saw the meanest thing on the internet this morning that I happened to click on like an idiot.
Is it Vince Vaughn related?
It was attractive celebrities that aren't attractive anymore. It was like one of those things, and there was like 27 pictures. And most of them, I was like, how can you compare like a 21-year-old actress to her 58-year-old self now and go, oh, looks like she put on a few LBs. I'm like, she's fucking 60 now.
It's so unfair.
It was ridiculous. But Vince Vaughn was one that they went, what happened to Vince Vaughn? You know, they show him from Swingers, and he's young and skinny with all his hair. And they show him now, and you're like, well, now he's a 50-year-old man. He's not 20-something.
Think about what that says about...
It affects women way worse.
How that is successful, though, and why. I mean, that's such an ugly part of society. That, like, people want to buy that
from grace.
To feel better about themselves and go, yeah, they had it all once, but now they don't. Now they're back down to my level.
Yeah.
Now they're like me, asking for gas at the Baker gas station.
That's right. You're correct. That's what it is. It's they're down to my level. Because
so
I'm a fat fuck that never did anything with my life, and they were once a super hot
actor. And they had everything, and now they're right down here with me.
Yeah. But they're not right down here with me, because they're still a successful actor.
And Vince Vaughn's going to be in a sweet movie about how he has to pretend that he's fucking his mom soon.
Yep. Who do we cast as his mom?
Let's call back. What do we call it? Mom sex?
How
fucking
about
mom?
Even weirder is his mom is a little person, and so that makes the sex
weird.
I'm
really uncomfortable now,
is
and I'm
true?
Worried that Tanya's going to hear this and be upset.
Wait, are you just adding that in for Spice, or is that true?
For Spice.
Oh.
His mom's not really. Because
he's like 6'6".
Okay.
I don't know if it needs that spice.
Yeah, the spice makes me uncomfortable that you decided
I overdid it. He doesn't. We just need to find
a
tall.
I think you overdid it when you said that the landlord is into watching young dudes fuck old people.
The guy's desperate to pay his rent. He's got no money. He lied. His mom died. Now his mom's staying with him.
Welcome to the treatment.
Because she doesn't have any money either, so she can't afford a hotel, so she's staying in his apartment. Landlord.
I notice a lot of themes in all of your work. Do you have some mother issues?
Landlord.
It's interesting, Elvis. I've never thought about that before, but you're right.
Has a fetish thing. Wants to watch them, and the rent's free, so what do you do?
What do you do? You probably just move. I think that's probably the easy solution. You move. You find it. Go to Westside Rentals.
Yeah, you got to
find a new apartment.
You probably do just move.
You don't have to bang your mom.
Jim Carroll, the poet.
Jim Carroll.
Once told me.
Wow, name dropper.
We were talking about breaking up with girlfriends, and
Jim Carroll, Basketball Diaries.
Yeah. He goes, I just move. And he goes, when I break up with somebody, I just get a new apartment, and I move all my stuff when they're gone.
See the one with the song, These Are People That Died, mm-hmm. Died? Is that why you're bringing that up? Because my dad died yesterday, so you're
no. That's
bring
not
up Jim Carroll.
No, sorry, John. Sorry. No, but he said he moves, and he. I thought
like
I'm not the only guy that
to
would want
to
do something like
he
that.
He moves every time he breaks up with someone.
He went out with that girl Tabitha Soren from MTV, and he was like in his 40s, and she was like
the number
in
of names in this man's head that I've never heard of.
Well, you would maybe recognize her, but
was she a guest VJ?
She was a VJ early on, though.
Kind of
hate
that term.
He was dating her.
A video
and
jock.
He goes, I wanted to break up with her because she was just way too young and she was crazy. And he goes, and I just didn't want to deal with it. So I just got a new apartment and moved during the day while she was at work.
Now, he didn't sing because I always get that song, These Are People That Died, confused with the song about all the women that he's had sex with.
I don't know what song that is.
It's like he says the names of every single like 44 people that I've had sex with.
Now, who does that?
It's a song that I get confused.
Is it Mama
Balls?
Number
very
five?
Different. One is about making life, and one is about people that are gone. Kind of like this podcast, right?
Speaking of this podcast,
yeah,
3 o'clock, Michael.
Jesus Christ, yeah, you got to leave. Get out.
Okay, I want to say I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm truly sorry. I appreciate that.
About your dad.
But it's the best thing for everybody. It's still a fucking loss.
And congratulations on your being a dad.
Thanks.
Big congrats.
The circle of life.
Wow. That was a good little segue, Mike.
The circle of life.
Did you guys, aren't you supposed to wait till 3 months to tell people? What's the rule?
Yeah, because there's a good chance the baby's going to.
What?
Good chance.
I don't know anything, by the way. Don't take my word for it.
No, it's
Mike's eyes were so wide right now.
It's 2 or 3 months, and Lauren already has told a bunch of people, and she can't contain herself. So it's like once we have our second ultrasound with her gyno and whatever.
Are you not drinking?
No,
you're
drinking.
Are you
you're
gonna,
not doing that?
Is she not drinking at all, or is she going to just back off?
She's had like a couple sips of wine.
I'm sure people are thrilled with me saying that. Good. I think you can. First of all, let me just point out in case you guys are
we're all products.
I'm a doctor.
My I had a coworker at NBC. Her doctor literally prescribed her, literally, to have like 2 glasses of wine a week.
What?
And he wrote that down in a prescription.
She has anxiety or something.
Literally,
and she can't take anxiety meds. I guess while she was.
What's 2 glasses of wine going to do for anxiety?
A week? Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. Zero.
Nothing. I'm an alcoholic.
It was like
I
if you're having one of those
of
days, if you're having
me.
One of your things, like just relax a glass of wine. Like, she's like, it's
speaking
not going to do
when
anything.
When that kid's born with that cleft lip, lawsuit time.
No, kid's born. It's fine.
Oh really?
Or
how old?
How
problems,
old?
Problems happen later.
Mm. So
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we could do a destination disaster from the hospital.
For who?
When the baby's born.
Oh, for do like a
when
birth,
young
birthing?
Michael Anderson White is born.
Congrats, Tyler. That's been when you guys we never talked about this, and none of this has really ever been talked about much on the show. But it was known, especially because I have a wife and
the wives
commiserate.
Commits. Yes.
It was a known. I knew that they were trying very hard to get pregnant for a while now.
So apparently, and I was out of the loop.
When they
you didn't just
the only reason
you didn't
why
want to share with your male adult friend that you guys are trying to have a baby.
Hey, if you had a wife in this mix and the three of them were convincing, then you would be. That's how I knew. Yeah. And when they got the dog, it was a little bit devastating. It was a little bit like
it was
shit.
Like they gave up.
Obviously,
yep, they gave
the
up.
Dog was after it was after actually a particular. It was one of those ones where she thought maybe she was because it'd been a while, and then. Or maybe that might have been right after the mini IVF that didn't take.
I don't know about all these IFBs and
yeah,
IVFs.
I don't know what that means. What
frequency
you guys
sound
are
like
playing
with.
Is when,
IVF is when they take the egg out, take your sperm.
Is this in vitro?
Yeah. Then they make
like
it. They fertilize it in like a. Yes. They fertilize it in a little thing and then they put it back inside the uterus.
Why can't you just do that like with a really like a scientific kit that you can get like online?
Well, now that we're the masters of science, we can.
Yeah,
I bet you could do a lot of that shit with a turkey baster and
a good
syringe.
Name for our new podcast, The Masters of
Science. You could do the get the sperm up there, but you
thank
can't do
God.
The you can't do the take out the little egg.
Can you imagine if eggs just were like as easy accessible as semen? How horrible that would be!
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
We could be making babies left and right wherever we want, just like stealing girls' eggs and then just like mixing them with like our friend's semen just as a joke.
Oh yeah,
because I'm a kid now.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck. Good luck raising that little mental illness package.
Hey, I know you guys broke up and you hate him now, but we just made you guys.
But you better check the closet because there's a kid brewing. Maybe mixing it with dog semen. Oh my God, you guys got to see what I made. Fuck. If you think throwing away the roaches was hard, you guys got to help me get rid of this creature.
We're harvesting
it's
children.
Not an abortion if it's already outside.
God's
it's
plan of
murder.
Keeping the eggs deep inside the woman was a good one. Because if they were just falling out, that
that's
would be
assuming
trouble.
You believe in God and that he had a plan.
Like, I mean, just going into the jacuzzi, like, the babies.
Oh, fucking, they'd be, we'd have to pitchfork them out of the jacuzzi so we can get in.
That's why tadpoles are so, like, because, like, eggs do just fall out of most animals, right?
I don't know.
That's how, like, fish do it. They, like, let the eggs out, and then the men come by and...
And then they like, just, like, squirm all over the eggs.
Yeah.
And so that, wait a minute, the fish must have, like, a huge, huge proclivity for eggs. Like, they must just get immediate turned on when they see eggs. Like, eggs has to be the thing that brings the semen out of them, so eggs are sexually exciting to fish. That is horrifying. Like,
or
if fish had
be,
porn, it would just be eggs.
Or fish are just jizzing all over the place, and it happens to land on eggs.
Or that.
Enjoy
we
swimming
got
in
so
a lake.
Much to do if we're the masters of science.
Yeah,
first of all, we need to stop doubting ourselves.
That's just the way it is.
It's right there
if
on iTunes.
It, it's
masters of science. We need to have a little bit of an air of authority when we say things.
All right, we've got to end this one.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should take the funds from a video that we make and give it to a listener who will actually go through every episode and pull out all the science facts that we've gotten wrong.
Uh-huh.
We could just ask them to do that for free.
I got like an email from listener Misty.
Yeah.
Saying that it's high time that we have a browner disaster.
Yeah.
The blacker disaster. She's been lobbying for a browner disaster, as has been Marina, listener Marina. But they're very different backgrounds. I believe that Misty is Arabic. I believe she has Arabic blood. And
she's
Marina,
Persian, I think.
Persia doesn't exist anymore, so I always give people shit when they say they're from Prussia. It's like that's like
Prussia.
Me saying Persia. That's like me saying I'm from whatever the Native Americans called this fucking land that I live on. I'm not. I'm from America.
That's right.
You're from Iraq or Iran or you're one of those Saudi Arabia. But she claims that everything we're
saying.
I
just said that's right. Like I was on some political talk wing.
Last week, talk ring.
What is it? Right wing.
Yeah.
Like, that's right.
That's absolutely.
You're from
right.
America. Stop trying to keep your identity. You pieces of shit.
But we're way off all about the burqas. And I think that she might be wrong. Because you showed me pictures on the internet.
I'm going to tell you what I found most disturbing about the burqa talk was swimming in that goddamn thing.
It's such a weird image to have in your head, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, especially when it clings to your sweet little body after you get out of the pool.
But it's
well, what could you know? What imagine if it was?
It's
see-through.
Just brown spans so many different types, cultures. You know, so does black, I guess, with all the different countries in Africa.
Yeah.
But if we were to the browner disaster, we'd have to have Indians, Arabs, Mexicans.
It's too much work.
It'd get confusing fast.
That famous tan guy, what's his name? George.
Oh, the guy that played Hamilton?
Hamilton, yeah. Played Evel Knievel.
He's orange, isn't he?
I guess he's more orange.
Sorry, Mike, where are you going?
No, I was going to say, that's just, if we're going to do that, then.
Yeah, does every race get a say on the show?
If we're going to do the
and
brown.
What do we call the Asian disaster if we're going color? Because that's really racist when you start.
If we're
going
to do the brown or disaster, I think it needs to be three strangers that we've never met and that have never listened to the show.
I am kind of curious of just how far off we were. Misty, don't send me a big long email. We'll talk about it with you on the show perhaps one day. We figured out a way to do phone calls on here.
Is that racist that I'd rather do another blacker disaster before we do a browner disaster?
Why?
Because the blacker disaster was the most fun night I had on the show.
Blacker people. It was a fun night.
It was the most fun to me. It was the most fun show. It was the most fun hanging out with those guys.
Part of me wants to just steal Bill Burr's old show format that he used to charge for that he never brings up anymore, doesn't do it anymore, but it's such a great idea. We wouldn't steal the name, but it was called Uninformed.
They're all over YouTube. They're good to listen to.
I don't think that he's got like a license of it or anything. It's a great idea. I don't know why other people can't tap into it, where we talk about a subject for like a half hour, 45 minutes, like we do. We already do the Uninformed. We just do it lazily.
But
we already had a good name for that. We just stay uninformed the entire time.
Wait, we never get informed.
Hey, first of all, the Masters of Science covers it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, what we say goes.
Do I look like Bruce Buffer?
I already have a doctor's jacket. I can wear that.
Audio podcast. Tyler was holding the cord of his microphone, so it was hanging in front of his face.
I hate to be a Corano, but I got to pee.
Yeah,
I really got
to pee, and I also got to go to work.
Here's a problem. I only have two toilets.
Hmm.
I guess we'll just go on each other.
See a pond over there.
That's not where you got to jump to.
The only other options. You got that sweet outdoor toilet right there.
How do we end the show? I guess one parting word about the old dad thing. I know that I've been haunted about this, especially because we knew that it was. We knew that it was going to happen within the next 2 years tops probably. So I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I was really curious. I've been wondering about this day for years, actually. When I was a little kid, I remember wondering, we all do, I think, what is that day going to be like, and how much regret are you going to have? And that was my biggest concern. I was going to feel really guilty, like I could have done this, I could have done that. And it's not as bad as I thought it would be. I So I don't know if that's because I did the work or I made sure that I stayed in touch.
I think that's healthy, and I wish, I hope I have the same situation.
Yeah, I'm kind of like a little silver lining or a little, like, if you guys are worried about it, I know I was really worried about it. Like,
yeah, well,
I
look at our life. Life is to be lived, and you want to live life to the fullest, and regrets is the opposite of that. That's going back and
right.
dwelling.
On something you can't change.
Yeah, and I do that a lot, and I think you probably
I,
do it a
I
lot.
Do it
can't
more
speak
than
for
I should.
Tyler. But
a lot less than I used to.
I will relive times where I fucked up a lot to the point where it drags my current mood into the gutter.
Remember when you used to drink, and then like the next morning you'd think about shit you did the
yeah.
night before? And you'd wince
every time.
Oh, it's the worst.
That's so terrible.
You're like, oh god, you think of something.
Can I tell
sad?
You that's funny you would bring that up, because that's one of the things I heard hundreds of times when I first stopped drinking from people who had quit drinking. You're going to have so many less regrets
yeah.
now. And that was the most, that and I like driving again, because
oh, you didn't like driving when you're drunk.
Well, I drank at least one drink every time I was in the car,
right,
for 10 years 12 yeah. years. And getting in the car now, I feel infinitely better knowing there's no chance I'm getting a DUI.
Right.
And that sounds stupid, which
well,
it is stupid,
chance.
But there
those machines fuck up sometimes.
Well, yeah, but that and the fact that I don't wake up every morning and have to lay in bed for half an hour going, why did I say that to her?
Yeah.
Why did I hit Sarah Silverman on the head and yeah. then make that comment? Why did I do
name
this?
Drop number three
yes.
at least.
That was like five, I think.
Why
did I hit Sarah Silverman on the head? It's a very odd question to ask yourself in the morning. Why, what? With your penis?
I don't want to go into that hitting her on the head story. I'll tell you in person another time.
I'm in person.
You want to hear a drop? I haven't done a drop in a while.
Well, you're talking to the microphone, though.
You want to hear a drop?
Yeah.
That's my kid.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Oh, my God. You're having a monster, a scary movie. Is that really your kid?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
he doing?
We hope.
What is that noise?
Heartbeat. What is oh. it doing? It's oh. practicing basketball. It's dribbling.
That heartbeat sound is
wow. Does that give you the chills at being
Italian,
being a dad?
It just sounds suspiciously Italian.
Does that freak
very
you out?
Italian sound.
What?
That heartbeat.
Like, does it give you the chills? Make you feel crazy warmth
yeah,
or something?
Have you changed as a person, Tyler?
Well,
yeah.
No, because it's been like a 2 year. Like, I've been in this headspace for like 2 years, so it's. Uh-huh. I mean, it'll be really. It's gonna get weird, but right now it's the exciting part of like that whole shit is finally over.
When that kid comes out and hates baseball.
Oh God, I'm sticking him back in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's going to be weird when your wife charges you with assault for sticking a baby back
no,
in.
No, we remember
we
on
talked
the
about
bonus,
this already.
On the
it's
bonus
on the bonus
episode last week.
We talked
oh,
about
yeah.
this.
That,
don't
you
know, burn it. Don't burn it.
We're
you
not
going to go download
it,
the bonus
but
podcast.
And it's horribly crass and it's terribly wrong, but that bonus episode, it's just over 2 hours long and a lot of it is like...
It's worth it for that and your creator joke.
But there's a short-lived discussion that we have where I'm losing it and I really have to pee. I'm almost peeing myself.
I'm glad that's on there because I forgot about that.
That was the funniest thing that we've talked about on the show in a while, I think. That was the highlight for sure.
Does it come across as funny?
It was very funny.
Yeah,
I was
laughing.
It was so stupid and so wrong and so sophomoric but so hilarious.
I got to get a copy of that show. I guess I'll buy it. I'm too lazy.
Do you have it on your computer?
I'm too lazy to actually... plug in my phone and transfer it, so I think I'm just going
to
buy it.
I don't know how like to, because there's a few people that I'd like to give it to, even though it's only $3, guys.
Give them the version off the disc.
But, like, I was thinking about how I had regret, because I had to pay $170, just to give you guys an idea of what we spent on this fucking trip. We spent $170 for, I think, one shot, maybe two shots.
Mm-hmm.
We spent $170 in gas for Dylan and his friend and their hotel, which is fine, and I would do it again, because we needed someone to take that picture from atop the crater looking down.
We could have just taken the photo and pretended we were at the bottom of it.
Well, in my head,
no,
originally,
you can see us on the video.
Well, in my head, we were going to leave the camera up there on the tripod.
And then use a remote?
We're going to go down and pose and then run back up and get it.
No,
but
I realized.
I would have run back up to get it and been, I would have been trying to signal, I'm not coming back down because I'm not walking back up.
We could have made friends with somebody who was already up there and then put a rope on it and had them throw it down to us.
A rope that's a quarter mile long?
Yeah.
They could have flown it down with your balloons.
Oh, the balloon. We could have brought a drone and had them deliver it. And taught them.
You know what we could have done?
We could have just paid a couple guys.
We could have just taken a picture
way.
And photoshopped ourselves into it.
Point is, we totally easily could have done that.
Which
we didn't do. We didn't do.
Spare no expense.
I liked having Dylan and Mike out there, and I would do it again that way. But my main regret is when I paid him the $170 through PayPal, is I didn't pay him $173 so that he could just get a copy of the show, because I don't want him to have to buy the show if he wants it, and then see that he's mainly cut out of it.
I can give him a link. I can give you a link for free download.
Did
you
see that picture
that
I posted?
You up.
On a Facebook page that I couldn't post because it just scaled it down, so I uploaded it and put a link.
Yeah.
It's the full res. I mean, I down-resed it, but it's still the full res picture. And you can see us down there, our little teeny bodies, and it's the one where I was peeing in that bush. But thank God we're a quarter of a mile away.
Your dick looks really small.
Yeah.
From the rim of the crater.
All right. Good night, everybody. We got to end this thing.
I'm sorry to hear about your dad. Very
happy,
seriously.
Thank
you.
Happy
congrats,
Friday.
Congrats, Ty.
Happy Friday. Yep.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, Dad.
Back with a new, fresh show next week. I'll be back from camp, probably regaling you with hopefully good stories, but I'm sure I'll have many terrible stories from camp.
By the way, I'm having a baby, too.
Oh, congrats, Mike. Is it with Lauren?